BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sonny DiMarello.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratus action is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
You see them now, John. Can't you hear them singing? Can't you hear them singing with me? Brothers and sisters, he's got the whole earth in his hand. He's got the whole earth in his hand.
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
A lot of people around here, well, they consider us a bad influence. And you know what? We're good with that.
Well, not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. An influence, as in we are the straws that stir the drink. We're in the position where the ladies want to see us and the fellas want to be us. They want what we have. They want to be where we are. And they're green with envy, just like my drink of choice.
With your host,
sing with me, children.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Greetings, loved ones. Let's take a journey.
Is really greener, warm, wet and wild. There must be something in the water.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/touchdown. BG1211 touchdown. It's not included in the link, but as you can tell, the Eagles game is on. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward.
Bastards!
Joining me, as always, is my co-host, slash producer, slash Eagles fan, Sir Rockin'.
There was an illegal motion penalty. Bastards! Took back a touchdown. Damn it!
Were they winning before?
Yes, it's 31-7.
Okay, well, you know, I don't think they need it at this point.
But it's a penalty, and you don't need penalties right now.
They're still winning.
I don't care. It was a penalty on a touchdown. You gotta be better than that. Gotta be better than that. This is the game where everything matters.
Oh my Jesus. You know, you're holding up our special guest.
Yeah, he can wait. And there's another flag?
You know,
come on now.
Anyway. We are joined, yes, because we have a special guest. We have a third party tonight on The Rack. You just don't have to put up with Rock and I tonight. Aren't y'all thrilled? Because joining us is the end-all, be-all of the network, the one, the only, the Omega.
It's nice to know someone on the show wants me here. I see how it is, Rock.
I'm concentrating on football. It's football season. I have a draft to prepare for. Apparently now it's on a Monday, thanks for being told today when I ask questions. Anyway.
He's surly.
He's always surly.
It's Thursday. By the way,
Thursday.
By the way, if you want to join the WTR Fantasy Leagues, get in touch with me because the Pick'em League is out, and the draft one will be put out tomorrow. Have to figure out a time that works good for everybody.
Did you send me an email for this?
Not yet. You'll get it all.
Okay. Because I kind of have three that I have to keep track of. Technically four now, so, you know.
The WTR League draft will be when I figure it out. So there you go. See, you're on delay. There you go. Anyway, I got the answer twice, Kinkins. Omega, say hi, Kinkins.
I am enough.
Yeah, by the way, you missed all the fun on Saturday.
I know. They roll out a new feature and I'm not there that night.
Neither was Kate Kins because his internet was acting like a Tim. Anyway.
Anyway, moving on. We have a lot to get into tonight on this show as we have our witty banter. We have a lot of news. I'm so sorry. And yes, we will be talking about the stuff with TNA. Get into that in just a second. We also have NXT. We are going to be talking all about SummerSlam, and that includes the exciting WWE 2K15 partial roster reveal because they did not announce the full roster.
I know. Plus, we got a little bit of a news item about the game today where they have a new technology, and we'll get into that later, too.
Awesome. But before we do all that, what's our question of the night?
It is simple. Who are you most excited to see in WWE 2K15?
Ew. Hope we got a lot of good answers.
We have some good answers on this one.
Because there's going to be a test later.
Yes, we're going to quiz you, all of you out there. You can tweet us during the show at Wild Talk Radio. If you have any comments we make during the show, you can comment along. Or join us in the chat room at wildtalkradio.com or recradioshow.com.
By the way, I have pizza belly and it's awesome.
Lucky.
Totally awful for my diet, but it's awesome.
How do you miss the field goal?
See how random we are? It's awesome. Anyway, moving on, we're going to jump right into news brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans.
That's not going to keep your job. I'm just telling you. Anyway, sorry.
Would you shush?
It's a
preseason football game.
Yeah, but
they
just traded for another kicker, so this kicker just realized, oh, my job's on the line. Anyway, I'm just screwing you at this point.
They're not like the Phillies, okay?
I'm just screwing with you at this point, so let's go.
Jesus. Anyway, news. We're going to open with the TNA news because there is a lot, and it's one of the biggest stories of the week. Omega, I don't know how familiar you are with the whole issue with TNA's TV deal.
I do know they were in trouble for a long time, and supposedly they are sticking around for the rest of the year.
That's right. Dixie Carter announced that TNA has signed a contract extension, or rather has been granted a contract extension, by Spike TV. They will be remaining on the air through December 31st, I believe.
And I quote, Impact Wrestling will remain a vital part of the Spike TV's programming on Wednesday nights, 9-8 Central, through the end of the year. Negotiations remain ongoing beyond this time frame. I like how the keywords vital in that one. The press release TNA put out.
Somebody's sucking up.
Yeah.
This is good news. This is great news for TNA. This keeps them on for the foreseeable future right now, at least till the end of the year. But this is also not the news that you necessarily would want to hear because they are still in active negotiations. And with the New Day starting this week with very little advertisement for the New Day, I don't know if this is... I don't know if we're going to be seeing TNA on Spike for very much longer. What do you guys think?
It's kind of weird. As soon as they announced this, they also announced they just signed a new TV deal in Africa.
Till 2019!
That's very optimistic.
Well, truth be told, if they needed to become an international company, they probably could. They're cutting costs to the point, especially with people leaving, which we'll get into in a minute, because there are more departures imminent from TNA that are allowing them to save money, and by not having to broadcast here in the States and just sending the shows overseas, that could save them money.
But they won't make any money, and at that point, they won't have any talent. I would assume that's a year-to-year deal, where there's a bunch of...
Probably.
Bunch of clauses in the contract that would renew it for a certain amount of episodes per year, based on the standing of the company, and there's probably an out as well. They're taping a bunch of one-night-only shows. They just turned a bunch of house shows into one-night-only pay-per-view taping, so... That will be interesting to see what those look like.
That's a little bit concerning.
It is, and they're doing a couple more in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, when they tape a bunch of TV leading up to Bound for Glory. The thing with this whole news that came out yesterday, and always comes out when prepping a show, is that basically this was sort of expected. TNA was expected to continue on Spike TV for the rest of the year, as a way of Spike TV saying, oh, hey, as we negotiate, as you negotiate with other companies, well, we'll leave you on the air and not make you look so bad. That's pretty much the deal with this one. According to people in the TV industry, this is not looking good. Spike is sort of kind of looking to get out of the wrestling business in general. So unless TNA wants to take a major cut to stay on the air, then that's the only way they'll be able to do so at this point. Spike's not... Spike's trying to rebrand itself, and, well, right now on the old Impact slot is Cops.
Yeah, I mean, this is... Like I said, this is great news. They're going to stay on the air, so they will at least get to take more TV, get to Bound for Glory, get past Bound for Glory. But what this says also is by signing a, or being, I should say, I don't know if anybody signed anything, but I'm just using the phrase because it's the only phrase that I can think of.
Extended.
Right now.
The deal was extended.
Extended. Yeah, extended is a better word. That there are not as many interested networks as one would be led to believe, because if they did have another network on the line, or they were seriously interested in TNA, they would have already inked a deal with them, especially with the Spike deal coming up in, you know, what, 6 weeks at this point?
October 1st was the end of the line for the deal. Yeah. It's very interesting. You can tell they're pushing hard to stay on Spike any possible way they can, whether it's moving the program to Wednesdays, taking lesser money. It's not good right now.
I don't know if they can afford to take lesser money. That's the thing.
Well, they will in some matter, because we talked about this before. When with this new company, the UTA, they're with, they're going to lose money in general. They lose 15% of whatever money they signed for, so you're already cut back by 15%. Which means you can't do a lot with the roster, and there's a bunch of names coming up, and including one who sort of already said his goodbyes, but we'll get to that in a second. It's good news. It's really good news, I guess. Keeps TNA on through the pay-per-view that they have to come up with a card for. They were planning on taping some TVs in Japan, which would be interesting if they can actually get that done, but we'll see. So we'll see where they go from there, but it's
not the best of signs.
It's not the worst, though.
It's not the worst. It's not so much a... The way you describe it before sounds like a good-natured token from Spike TV, just to help them stay on the air. It's more or less Spike TV just fell out of negotiations with them, too. So it's not just TNA scrambling to figure out what they're going to do after that deal expires. It's Spike looking to fill whatever time slot that's going to leave behind.
Which right now is Cops, which was on Wednesdays. Now they moved a 5-hour block to Thursdays, which is pretty good because Cops actually does pretty good ratings and they can sell a lot of ads. It's better financially because it's cheap programming.
Yeah, and apparently the lead in for Cops on Wednesday actually did better ratings than TNA did.
Yeah.
It's always the case. If you're an Impact Wrestling fan like I am and Lindsay is and Omega, not really. But...
not really.
Well, you know... He was.
That's generous.
He was in like 2003, maybe. 2004.
It was in 2000...
You watched it.
Back before...
You watched it once.
Back before John Cena started to rap. And
I was there. I attended TNA tapings.
I'm so proud of you.
But that was back in the Asylum days.
Yeah, like I said, back before John Cena started to rap. it's a good time frame for that. But yeah, we'll see. See what happens. You hope good things for TNA. You really do, because there's a lot of good people who work there. But... You would think by now it's fall TV season, you would have a new TV deal. Kind of, that's a red flag on its own.
Yeah, that's going to be the hard part, is finding someone that will take them on mid-season at this point.
Yeah.
Because the extension is all good, keeps them on TV a little bit longer, but that also sticks them in place while everyone else already has their fall and then winter lineups all set.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Basically looks like Spike or no, it's either Spike or they're done.
Yeah, and that's not what you want to hear.
No, it's not.
So, well, we'll have to see how it goes. Like we said, good news, they are on till the end of the year. Bad news, nothing else has come out in terms of any other deals with either Spike or another network. So we will keep our finger on this one and we'll let you know the details as they emerge. But as Rock alluded to, and as I alluded to, there are some people coming up that their contracts are expiring, and they've been given the impression that, well, they're not going to resign, mainly due to finances, which is another bad sign coming from TNA, including really what I would term a vital member of their roster, because he's not only really one of their top names at this point, he's also an agent, he's a booker, and he's really a locker room leader, and it's a huge loss to TNA if he goes, and that's Bully Ray.
He was Mr. Everything behind the scenes, basically. He got to do whatever he wanted. That's basically the deal, since he was the top heel for a long time, then became the top babyface, basically separated from Bobby Lashley. And he was the guy who put TNA President Dixie Carter through the table, which her trying to act with a back injury and then do the ice bucket milk challenge was very entertaining. If you haven't seen it, go check out her Twitter and Facebook. It's one of those most interesting things. Yeah, Bully's gone. He told the locker room over the weekend that he was done. He didn't expect to resign and be back with the company. It's kind of big blow, since he's kind of heavily featured going forward on TNA programming. And, yeah, it kind of makes it sort of hard to complete what they created last night a reality in a few weeks.
Yeah, and he's heavily featured in a tournament that they're doing. He's also supposed to go into their Hall of Fame at Bound for Glory with D-Von. And, well, I don't know if that's going to happen now.
That's the interesting. It's like, how do you put someone in your Hall of Fame when they don't have a contract?
They pay him per play? I don't know.
Here's the thing. He had a guaranteed deal. He was one of those who didn't matter whether he was used or not. He was on the guaranteed contract. And because they don't have a TV deal in place, they don't have the money to afford guys like Bully Ray, it's quite sad that you're building up a best of four, but not first team to win two matches series, where they've taped three of them. Well, they've taped three of them, and one of them was supposed to be coming up at either these tapings or at the coming pay-per-view, where, you know, Bully is featured with D-Von against the Hardys versus the Wolves in a three-team thing. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, Bully's not here anymore. How can we finish this? We'll talk about the injury in a minute. Well, maybe we can combine two and make it the Hardys versus D-Von and Eddie Edwards?
Because Davey Richards broke his leg, I believe, actually at the last tapings or at a house show. So Davey Richards is out of the picture. The only thing I can figure is that they pay Bully to come back and do that last show, and to come back and do an appearance for Bound for Glory, and that's what they do.
They have to. But he told them he didn't expect to be back in general, so that's tough.
That is what TNA does, though. I mean, we saw with their tapings, they brought in a bunch of people to work the New York tapings.
Yeah, but they probably didn't pay them much. Bully has a higher rate than Gene Snitsky.
Well, to be fair, so Jerry did get on an airplane from Japan and fly over, so...
But he has a scheduled match, it looks like, at the pay-per-view, teaming with Great Muta, but that's sort of... Yeah, they paid Gene Snitsky and the former Ezekiel Jackson to appear at the last set of tapings.
Wow, they got Ezekiel Jackson.
Well, it was only for a couple of weeks. He was Dixie's henchman, and when they didn't protect her, she fired them, but she fired them right before she got put through the table, so maybe she should have waited to fire them. Maybe they would have actually protected her.
Wait, when did Ezekiel Jackson get fired from WWE?
A year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Where the hell was that?
He was one of those that was just like, he was working like the Bob Orton Jr. injury. It's just nagging. It won't heal. It won't heal. And he was just on the bench for so long. I think someone in WWE like marketing finally went, wait, he's still there?
Well, I know every time we have to go through the roster, it's like, wait, this person still works for them?
There are names on there like JTG and Kurt Hawkins. I was just shocked. People still on the payroll, I just forgot existed.
No, JTG's gone. They got him.
Oh, yeah, I know they got him. They got Kurt Hawkins, too. But those two were, like, the ones I remember seeing every single time going, why didn't they get cut?
Actually, technically, we probably reported this about 4 months ago. Ezekiel Jackson was left WWE in April 7, 2014. We probably reported it on this show. Just point that one out.
Probably, yeah. I don't remember, though. I don't remember week to week. I drink every Friday night, so...
She does. She does. She really, really does. But yeah, both...
So, you know, it's... Things get a little blurry.
To be fair, it's Ezekiel Jackson. Can you remember what he did when he was on the roster?
He was in the Nexus, wasn't he? Or he was in a... Yeah.
No, he was in the core. He was in the core. He was in the core with Wade Barrett. It wasn't the Nexus, it was the core.
Close enough! One of those groups.
One of those groups.
Some people that Wade Barrett bossed around.
There you go. It was one of Wade Barrett's groups. You know, what the hell ever. You don't expect me to remember names, do you?
Yes. Yes, I do. I have high expectations for you.
God. Anyway, routing back to the conversation.
I can go back to football if you really want.
No. No.
Did Ezekiel Jackson play football?
I think he might
have. I think he did.
Let's go up. Let's go up his profile.
Okay, well, Rock's looking that up. Moving on, another departure from TNA. And this makes me sad, because they broke up the family. ODB is gone.
Yeah, she put out on her Twitter that she's now accepting bookings. So if you want to book her, go follow her on Twitter, at TheODBBam.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's taking bookings, and yeah, she's no longer with the company. She hasn't been used in a while. Her profile was removed from TNA's website today. So that kind of was confirmation by some folks.
She had, like, the best wrestling wedding ever.
She did, and then you can go back in somewhere on our website in the riffs where we riffed that that wedding.
Dude, I want that wedding. It was awesome.
The wedding in the cage... Camo.
No pants.
No pants.
It was amazing.
It was one of the higher rated segments too. It was one of the awesome segments in TNA.
It was a wrestling wedding that actually finished.
Right?
I know. It's one of those things that doesn't happen often in wrestling.
Yeah.
And then they continued the continuity of those two being married long after the fact.
Even when Eric Young had his TV show, he was off getting her chicken.
Yes.
For it months. Moves. Chicken and booze for like 5 months.
It was amazing.
If not longer.
So, sad to see ODB gone. It would be a huge loss to TNA if Bully Ray goes. Kurt Angle's contract is coming up in the next few months. And, well, if he leaves TNA, he may not have anywhere to go because he was kind of given the cold shoulder by Triple H. So... he might be gone as well, but it's...
You really look at the departures. Not only that, going back as far as AJ being unable to come to terms with a new contract, you start to get a rats from a sinking ship vibe from everything.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. This is another negative sign for the company, and the roster departures are not the only ones. You have people leaving from the office as well. Where it's, from what I've heard, a mass exodus from the TNA offices of people getting out while they still can.
Yeah, one of their head PR live events guys left the company. He was getting congratulations over the weekend. He's working for the New York Cosmos, the soccer team, which congratulations to him. Yeah, it's the Kurt Angle thing. His contract comes up on the 21st of September, so 1 month from now. He's expected to make his future well known in the coming weeks. See where that happens. We were talking last night. It doesn't seem like Kurt has much of a future elsewhere, thanks to going over Hunter's head. Always a smart thing, even though you shouldn't be talking to them since you're under contract.
Well, I mean, okay, here's the thing. there's a difference if he's negotiating a new deal or if he's just sort of sending out a feeler. And he's not the first person to send out a feeler to WWE while they're still under contract.
Oh, no.
To be fair, it's Kurt Angle. He might have just drunk dialed Vince one night.
He's clean and sober.
Yep. Uh-huh.
It's what his Twitter says. Until it's deleted.
So, eat, tweet, delete?
Tweet, delete. Anyway.
Wasn't that someone... Oh, wait, never mind. So...
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we're getting to that later. So, yeah, you know, Kurt, it's... I get you're looking for a deal, but here's the thing. If the head of talent relations, the boss's son-in-law, tells you no, and then you call the boss, and you piss the guy in talent relations off, that's probably not the smartest thing for you to do.
No, it's not the best thing for your career.
Especially since WWE now has who they want from TNA, which was Hulk Hogan and Sting.
Yeah,
the 90% to the way of Sting, actually.
Yeah, 90% to the way of Sting, but they got Hogan back, too.
We're getting there.
Well, to give everyone an update on Sting, because this sort of came out over the weekend, Sting got to tour the WWE headquarters. He met with Vince McMahon about a week or so ago. He met all the marketing people, the web people. He met everyone you could possibly meet. So it's like, we're just, like, our hands are an inch apart at this point from, hey, we have a deal.
Yeah.
At this point.
I would expect a deal to be signed very soon.
And that was the first time he met Vince. He was supposed to meet him at SummerSlam, but they met a week or so prior. Which is interesting, because Vince says that there's a story going around that they met about 20 years ago, but Sting doesn't remember it. It was more like, oh, hey, it was a passing by, but this was the first time they actually sat down and talked. But Sting is coming, and Sting will probably be wrestling somebody at WrestleMania 31.
Bray Wyatt, book it. Sting versus Bray. Somebody book it.
He wants to do it. He'll do it. He wants John Cena, he wants Triple H, and he wants The Undertaker. But
he's wanted The Undertaker for years, but...
I think The Undertaker just wants to stay on his couch and not move.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, because we saw a picture that we should probably not be talking about on the air because it makes Lindsay cry, of The Undertaker a couple days ago.
He looks like such a nice,
old man.
Elderly individual.
Have you
There's
seen...
no nice way of describing that picture.
He's very old.
There's nothing but heartache and pity.
I hate to laugh because it's so horrible to laugh, but it's just like I saw the picture and I'm going, what the hell happened to him? Because I'm looking at it and I'm going, wow, they used a lot of makeup at 30. Like, a lot.
Yeah, he got really old and really quickly. He was like, we were looking, just comparing pictures, and I was like,
what happened?
What happened? Really, he got old really fast. For those paying attention on the technology screen, there's a picture up right now.
That's what 30 years on the road will do to you.
Oh, I don't doubt it. And you don't get the reputation of the party taker for nothing. And he lived it up, so I'm not surprised that he is aging. But it's like it seems like now, especially now, that for every year that he ages about 5. You know, 5 to 7, because
it's like the Robin Williams movie Jack.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it's kind of scary, because I told Rock, it's just like, he got old. When did he get old?
Very quickly. Very, very quickly.
But we should note, since we're talking about The Undertaker.
Thank you for taking my transition for it. Well done.
You're welcome. As we sit here and cry over the photo. Mm-hmm. There's another guest we'll never get. Michelle McCool revealed on Instagram that she, Mark Henry, and her husband, The Undertaker, will be champion teammates to a child named Caroline in the state of Texas. They will be sponsoring Caroline through Cheyenne's Champions for Children charity, which is where the picture was taken, which provides children with rare or undiagnosed conditions and their families in Central Texas with resources to meet their medical needs not covered by insurance or other assistance. The organization currently sponsors 10 children that are paired with 10 champion athletes, excluding McCool and friends. The 10 slot high school teams, Michelle McCool wrote, felt so blessed to become a champion teammate to Sweet Caroline, who faces a rare undiagnosed disease. Can't wait to run a marathon in her name. Watching how happy these kids were when they found out who they were partnering with, including my husband and at the Mark Henry, I guess, made her heart grow so much. Or she left out a word.
No, she with my heart, yeah, she did.
These kids are brave and courageous despite their ailments. Each bracelet represents a different kid, Caroline, Drew, and Chase. Hashtag CC4C, hashtag Be Strong, Live Life, and other hashtags.
When you get knocked down, get up. No fear.
No fear. Yeah, so an awesome cause that Michelle McCool, The Undertaker, and Mark Henry are undertaking. No pun intended.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
Yes, and please God, let Michelle be the one running.
Yes, yes, please. Because if the Undertaker tried to run, he'd probably need assistance.
I don't think he's capable of running.
He's he runs short distances.
I'm sure he's getting really good at running after the kids.
Again, that's in short spans. So that's good. Good for him, good for them. Good for Mark Henry. Good for Michelle McCool. Good for the Undertaker. And if you have a dollar, Michelle McCool might take your dollars to get the Undertaker to do the Ice Bucket Challenge.
I'm sure she could get him to do it. Somebody just gotta dare him to do it.
Somebody get on it.
Nobody's challenged him yet.
Which is weird. People should be challenging the Undertaker.
Like, the fact that Hunter and Vince and Shawn didn't do it is just, like, mind-boggling.
I think they're scared.
Oh, please. Hunter is not scared of him. Neither is Vince.
And for the record, the Eagles win 31-21.
Yay!
It was good. The starters played a lot.
Good. I'm glad.
Congratulations on your win that will mean absolutely nothing soon.
Hey, the Eagles are winning in the preseason. The Cowboys, on the other hand. Anyway!
Hey!
What?
Yeah, but the...
We're not taking shots this early in the show.
Oh, this early in the show? Okay. I'll wait till later.
Look, think of it this way. Like, you know, eventually, in a few weeks, the Cowboys' record is going to go back to 0-0. It's the first time in the year they're actually going to improve their standing.
I still love that somebody got a tattoo of it for 2015 Super Bowl champions, Dallas Cowboys.
Still wait, somebody got a tattoo of that?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a real story we told you about. It happened.
Oh my god, that's so sad.
Omega, Kane Kins is yelling at you. He's wondering why.
What?
Anyway, we should send out some congratulations, because there's news broken yesterday.
Oh?
Congratulations to TNA announcer Christy Hemme. She announced today on Twitter, or yesterday on Twitter, she's about 5.5 months pregnant. Her and her husband, Charlie Patterson, are going to give birth to a child. And their due date, December 31st.
Ooh, a New Year's baby. Good for her.
That's good for her. Good for her husband. Congratulations.
So, yay, well done. Hope everything goes smoothly.
They had a whole big photo shoot that they did. It's probably on TNA's website or something. Or at least on her Twitter at HemmePowered. So go check it out.
So just another quick couple notes, because I know the news is running long. Sorry, a lot of news.
Hold on.
Speaking of winning,
we shouldn't apologize because the news is long every week.
Not every week. Most weeks lately it's been long because there's been a lot of stuff going on, but some weeks we struggle to find a story. Don't forget that.
This is true.
Usually when they go to Europe.
It doesn't help that this week you got an extra jackass talking this.
Yeah, but we invited you, so we want you here.
Aww.
Because, you know, you and I never get to talk anymore.
I know.
Sucks. So speaking of winning, if you don't have the WWE Network, which is only $9.99, you missed out on the incredible Shield documentary, which was their journey to WrestleMania. Dear God, go watch it. It's
SummerSlam.
Fabulous.
SummerSlam.
SummerSlam. SummerSlam. Whatever pay-per-view. You know what I mean. One of those pay-per-views is a documentary about the Shield. Just go watch it.
It was.
Winning.
Yes. Seth is an asshole, Dean is an adorable little shit, and Roman is just Roman.
Yeah, it was a great documentary. They put a lot of time and effort into it. Gabe Sapolsky was on it. Paul Heyman was on it, talking them up, and we kind of made the decision yesterday that Roman Reigns should be managed by Paul Heyman.
He should.
Everyone should be managed by Paul Heyman.
Yeah, but Heyman could sell Reigns.
He could.
He could do to him what he did with Brock. Roman has that potential.
At this point, I'm pretty sure he can make Zach Gowen look like Brock Lesnar. I'm that sold on Paul Heyman as a manager.
Curtis Axel. Rye.
Not that sold.
Rye back.
Well, okay. To be fair, all right. Axel and Ryback, this is the only time you probably ever hear me defend Ryback, did not get a fair shake of a stick. Had they not put Ryback into the title picture when they did, Ryback probably would be a star. But because they put him in the title picture and they repeatedly jobbed him out and eventually basically sacrificed his push for the sake of the Shield, which I'm totally okay with, no offense, Ryback, then, yeah, that's why he is where he is now. Axel just didn't get a fair shake at the stick either, and he kind of got screwed.
Oh, Axel kind of got screwed over on that, but at the same time, he's an okay worker, but he's got the charisma of, like, an anal wart.
I disagree on that. If they let him be him, he can actually be incredibly entertaining. They just don't let him be him.
Well, right now they're not letting him be anything. He's just the guy that has his dad and granddad's names. Which is really unfortunate.
Yeah. And then there's Cesaro. Poor Cesaro.
What happened? The crowd was cheering, he was red hot, everyone was doing, he's doing this big Superman, these feats of strength in the matches, and all of a sudden he's got nothing.
Daniel Bryan gets hurt and everything went, oh my god, we gotta change our focus to things.
It's all your fault, Goat Boy.
Damn it, Bryan.
Which is a good transition, because we have an injury sort of update on Daniel Bryan.
Triple H was right.
Well, before we transition to Daniel Bryan, I should also note that the Monday Night War is starting on Friday. So if it is a WWE original program detailing, you guessed it, the Monday Night War, singular, not plural. So if you're interested in watching that kind of thing, because you're going to be having superstars, WWE officials, possibly WCW individuals, recounting that infamous time period in wrestling, I suggest you pick up the network for only $9.99.
I'm very interested in seeing this because I wanted to see it when it originally aired, but apparently they never archived it because it was only a one-time thing, so now it's actually on. Hopefully we get an actual time slot. Maybe it's Fridays at 10. I'm not quite sure, but I'm interested in seeing it because it sounds very cool, and from all reviews, it was really, really good.
Hopefully they archive it.
Yeah, it was a fantastic episode. There's a lot of stuff that I'd totally forgotten that WCW pulled on their debut night. So it was some of the best marketing strategy I've ever seen.
Well, they went out for blood, and they almost succeeded. Think about that one.
They did, but then, well, stuff happened.
Yeah, then Tony Schiavone screwed up and gave away the ending to Raw, which...
There's pretty much the summary of any history lesson ever. Stuff happened.
Yeah. Don't repeat it.
Want to know more? Go watch the Monday Night War on the WWE Network for only $9.99.
There we go. And we're done with the $9.99 jokes. But yes, speaking of Daniel Bryan, Dave Schumacher has heard through the grapevine that Daniel Bryan might need more surgery?
He is reporting, and no one else seems... there's a report countering this, but Daniel Bryan apparently needs Tommy John surgery. Could be out up to, for his reports, is up to at least 3 months. Tommy John surgery, as I was telling Lindsay, is like, for pitchers, that takes almost a year, so I don't know how he would be back so soon. I would say it's at least 6 months on that. Up to a year, because you're basically repairing a full ligament in your elbow. WWE responded to this report basically saying they have not made any final decisions. So he's still undergoing some tests.
Has the strength in his arm improved? Does anybody know?
As of this past weekend, from what the Wrestling Observer was reporting, no.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
There's some sort of nerve damage. Like from there's something in his elbow that's blocking something coming down from the neck, and it's causing nerve damage. And yeah, so say it's not good that he's not back to 100% yet, and it's been like 3 months.
Damn it, Brian, get better. We need you.
He's the reason why Bray Wyatt lost to John Cena, then John Cena lost to Brock Lesnar, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, but John Cena getting mauled by Brock Lesnar was just entertaining.
It was, and we'll talk about that later in the program.
I was joking about that happening, and I was like, oh my god!
Like, holy crap, it's happening! But, last but not least... By the way, get well, Brian. We miss you. Please come back soon. Last but not least, there is a new WWE comedy in the works with one Hulk Hogan in the mix, and it's called Celebrity Deathpool.
That's the working title. David Hasselhoff will be appearing. Ken Jeong, I think how you pronounce his name. The guy from the Hangovers movies, he'll be in it. It features him playing a struggling nightclub owner who racks up a large debt from a loan shark and then sets out to win a long-running celebrity death pool by trying to kill David Hasselhoff. Hogan will be in there along with a lot of other celebrities. Darren Grant, writer of Diary of a Mad Black Woman, will direct the movie. It's being written by Peter Hoare.
Wait, what was his last name?
Yeah, it was.
Hoare. H-O-A-R-E. Hoare.
Okay. I was going to say, wait, what?
So there you go. Be interesting. WWE Studios movie.
I like the fact that they're doing a comedy, because they either do, like, action-adventure movies, or they do horror. So it's nice to see that they're doing a comedy, and they're branching back out into that genre. Though I still want a rom-com, goddammit.
It sounds like a pretty damn dark comedy compared to, like, The Chaperone and things they usually do.
Yeah, but it's got the dude from The Hangover, which means it's going to be kind of stupid.
Did you see The Chaperone?
Parts of it.
And when it comes to the WWE Network for only $9.99, you'll watch it then.
Maybe.
So one thing I'm surprised is their movies haven't been on there yet.
They're getting to it, probably. I would bet when the Marine 5...
Four
comes out. I don't know what number they're up to. I'll learn it if we interview Miz. How about that? That they'll probably show the Marines 1 through 3. As a way to sort of welcome it out, or as a way to sort of hype everybody up for it. Maybe. Possibly.
I'm sorry, I'm typing something.
You're typing something. Don't scare me. You made me think my feed died for a second. It's like, maybe?
Well, you've got this other co-host on here that you usually talk with. I kind of thought he'd pipe in or something.
As we both look at Rock on the screen and nothing. Fine. I see how this is.
Eagles
anyway,
suck.
Thank you so much for pairing with the news. I say we take a break. Hey, look at that. He can post
music. Hey.
He can do music. Yay!
Screw you both. Anyway.
Well, you know you didn't do the BRB. Had you typed the little message to me in the box like you normally do, I would not have tried to throw it
I was drinking water. Sorry.
And you can't put BRB in the box.
Not
while
when,
you're.
Not
you when. Can't type and drink at the same time.
I'm not that talented.
Come on, Tim does it every Sunday.
No, he doesn't.
Anyway, when we come back, this is going to be a train wreck and a half, and it should be fun. We're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT, so you definitely don't want to miss that. You're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Football!
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
that was just recently.
It was this past Sunday, actually. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really? Come on, now. Man. Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait. That's all.
Los Matadores versus the Real American. You all
I'm
pick...
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry.
You're...
We're not making
fake.
I see them too in action, and I was, like, all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. as luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I'd seen them face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked them if I had seen them. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, I pick. I was going to make picks. I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team's titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match, but Ace and Rob picked Brie. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God! Get out! I believe you changed the answer, Rock. Oh, shit. Well, that's one for me, because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you,
I told you, I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming. Just like... bump my HP up to, like, almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know. The show hasn't gone anywhere. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Hey everybody, this is Joseph Clark from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I was hoping to go my whole life without hearing that.
But of course, my friends over at youtube.com/mbg1211. Go there for all your action figure review needs. We're both looking at the producer like he's crazy. What?
Just you wait till
I'm not looking at him. I'm pretending I don't know him.
Just wait. There's the music gets worse as we go along. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio on the rack.
What picked this theme? Like, what the hell did we do to deserve this?
I was going to torture you. I didn't know Omega was joining us when I picked this music. So
why do you want to torture me?
Because you torture me six of the other days of the week.
Oh, just because the Phillies suck doesn't mean I should be punished for it.
Oh, that's the only... Okay.
If it'll make you feel better, Rock, I'll torture her later.
She's going to be plenty tortured. Don't you worry. Anyway, let's get into some NXT tonight.
Oh, we're back for another week of NXT. Show opens, and we have your opening contest, which is Cowling Cassidy and Enzo Amore taking on our favorite black and white villains, the VOD villains.
Still love their entrance, one of the best entrances in the world right now.
Now, before we start this, Omega, did you watch NXT?
I did. I couldn't pay too close attention to it, but I got most of it.
Okay. Just in case, you know, we don't want to throw it to you and you'd be like, yeah, so, didn't watch it.
That was the thing.
So,
stuff happened.
Enzo and Kaz were the ones that started out, and basically Kaz showed off his power in this matchup early on. He laid out English with a big boot and a big slam to Gotch. Enzo was begging for the tag. He got in. Went after Gotch. They had a nice double team move where Kaz threw Enzo into Gotch in the corner, which was very, very nice. Kaz went for the big slam, but Gotch overpowered him. Enzo got taken out. The VOD villains took control. English hit the senton, aka that's a wrap. And the VOD villains advance in the number one contenders tag team tournament.
I really want to see the VOD villains take on the Ascension just for the comedy value alone.
That would be some good comedy, and they would actually match up size-wise pretty well.
They would. They really would. But what the real news about this match is not what happened during the match, it's what happened after. Because after we had the Legionnaires, Marcus Louis, and Sylvester LaFour... Yes, Marcus was his name, because Rock could not remember his name last week.
I remembered Louis. I couldn't remember his first name for the life of me last week. It was quick. I just couldn't remember.
Anyway.
And neither could you, because you couldn't help me, so.
I didn't see it.
I know. But you still should have known. You still should have knew who he was.
Yes, because, you know, I remember everything ever.
You should.
Again, drink every week, Friday night.
Ezekiel.
Jackson. Anyway.
Anyway, the Legionnaires attacked Colin and Enzo. Sylvester got a pair of clippers, and he held on to Enzo as he shaved Enzo's beard.
Bastard.
Not nice, dude. Just not nice.
You don't shave another man's beard like that. It's a crime. It's a sin. You're going to have to pay for that.
Especially since he's got quite a nice beard himself. Don't be shaving people's beards unless you're, you know, afraid to lose your own. Or willing to lose your own. But anyway, we move on where, well, we get a visit from the COO.
Yeah, Triple H came out and they had a big, huge announcement. Love that he's a babyface in NXT and a heel on WWE TV. It's tremendous. The crowd was going wild for the game, and he talked about how NXT has become the brand for the WWE Network, and it's once again time to take over. And in 3 weeks, on September 11th at the NXT Olymp Arena in Full Sail, at Full Sail University, it'll be another two-hour special as NXT takes over with the NXT Championship and the NXT Women's Championships on the line, and also the winners of the NXT Tag Team Number One Contenders Tournament will get their shot at the Ascension.
Ooh.
But that's not all.
There's more?
There is more. A new general manager will oversee it all, and that new GM will be on the show next week.
Ooh, fancy.
And when he gets here, you will have, to quote, you have seen nothing yet.
Sounds like good stuff's coming.
Yeah, we haven't seen much of JBL, so this place does need a new GM. Just saying.
So wait, did JBL get fired or did he just resign?
I think he was the interim. I think he was the interim GM. I think that was what the case was, where he got replaced. He replaced Dusty when the Authority took over. I think he was just the interim GM for the past year.
I'll take your word for it.
I think that's how it worked. But yeah, there's a new GM, and I guess we'll find out next week who it is. Kind of curious to find out who.
Yeah, kind of wondering. Although I've already read the spoiler, so I know, but...
All we could say is he's a real man's man.
Yep.
Totally. Lord Rock.
Because that wasn't subtle at all, dude. Up next, we have Tyler Breeze backstage. He's with Devon Taylor, and she asks him if he's upset. Tyler says that, you know, of course he's upset. He worked so hard to become the number one contender, and Tyson Kidd decided to interfere in his chance to become the most gorgeous NXT champion ever. And, well, Breeze says that Tyson Kidd is about to find out that Prince Pretty is not just a pretty face. Dude, you pissed him off. He's gonna bitch slap you. Run.
Pretty much, yeah, you better run at this point.
Which leads to match number two of the evening, Tyson Kidd taking on Tyler Breeze.
This was looking like, oh, it's going to be a great match. Breeze went right after Tyson Kidd, stomped away at him, then Kidd fired back, laid in forearms, took control, hit a nice combination of a suplex and a neckbreaker, goes for the sharpshooter, Breeze gets out of the ring, it's like, screw this, grabs his phone, and hightails it out there. He wanted no part of this.
Well, you know, you don't kick him in the face.
Well, yeah.
Or hit him in the face. You gotta protect the... Oh, wait, that's somebody else's...
Oh, no, wait. Gimmick infringement.
Can't have himself or another injury. Because, you know, that would be dangerous to his career.
Mm-hmm, totally. Is it wrong with the more I see Tyler Breeze, the more I really like Tyler Breeze?
Tyler Breeze is... He's impressed me a lot.
Like, I was thinking about his entrance tonight and what it would look like at, say, a pay-per-view, and I was like, that would be kind of hot.
Imagine, like, a WrestleMania.
That's what I was thinking of. I'm like, to have that really long entrance ramp with him just working it.
Yeah, that would be kind of awesome.
I need to see this now. Somebody call him up, please.
Follow Matt Gorgeous on Twitter.
Yes, he's kind of hilarious.
He is. So yeah.
So Tyson wins by count out.
Yeah, he did. And should say he said, "I don't need." His quote was, "I don't need this."
No, he doesn't. We're behind you, Tyler. We love you. Solidarity.
Then the confusing part happened. It was like Tyson Kidd mocked Tyler Breeze. I was confused.
Who's the heel and who's the face?
I swear they were billing Tyson Kidd as the bad guy, but he acted like a face. So me confused.
Yeah, I got nothing. I don't.
Thanks for helping my confusion.
I'm just as confused as you are. I'm more confused why Tyson Kidd is becoming a staple in NXT.
He could be losing to midgets on WWE superstars like Heath Slater and Titus O'Neil tonight.
Get him on TV.
Again, gets Tyson Kidd on TV right now, NXT, on the brand, on taking over the network.
Heath Slater got beat up by a midget in a cow costume.
Again. Just, funny. This is the guy that pinned Seth Rollins. Pointing that out.
He beat Dolph Ziggler via countout.
Poor Slater. Anyway,
and because because we were talking all about that, those were pretty much all. So there you go. Had to throw that out there once. Sorry.
Yeah, it's becoming the new horn, isn't it?
Yeah, because we've banned the horn because why should we play it?
Well, because we don't like our impact anymore. Anyway, we went to commercial and we came. Come back. Tyler is, asked about walking out of his match, and Tyler says that he and Tyson are fine. He's worried about the big announcement next week concerning the NXT title. So
He basically said, "Why is the media making a big deal out of this? We're fine. I'm just focusing on the title announcement." Then get away, paparazzo. Get away. Leave.
The more I see of him, the more I really like him.
Like, the media is making such a big deal of it, but you were just making a big deal of it about 10 minutes before. Just pointing that one out.
Anyway, moving on to match number 3, we have the NXT Women's Champion Charlotte taking on a supremely hyper Becky Lynch.
She has that Lita quality to her.
But she needs to tone it down about 500%?
Yeah.
And she'd be good.
They wooed and had a scream off to start things off tonight.
No. Becky had a scream off for the entire match.
But Charlotte was adding woos to start with.
She was wooing her?
Yeah, she was wooing her. Woo! Charlotte went for a backslide early on, but Becky was actually showing off some of her power, took down Charlotte, worked on her leg. Becky was, for the most part, early on going for a pin attempt anyway. She could get down one point, wrapped her legs around her and rolled her up for a pin, got to a 2 count. Becky started to fire up, knocked down Charlotte with a big right hand, but got knocked into the corner, and that's when Charlotte sort of took control. She put in the figure four headlock, which is always impressive. Renee Young mentioned during the commentary, Becky is not here to take part, she's here to take over. Nice tie into the event name coming up. Charlotte then charged in, but got nailed with a back elbow and a huge clothesline. That's where Becky started to really fire up, turned up the juices, repeated leg drops on Charlotte for a 2 count. Becky goes for a suplex, but Charlotte basically nailed her with a nice suplex throw, sending her across the ring. And then Charlotte hit the bow down to the queen for the victory. So Charlotte once again beats Becky Lynch on TV.
This was a good match.
I like Charlotte's improving. Very much so.
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, I like Becky. I like her energy. I just, in terms of the headbanging and the screaming, it's like, we get it. We get what you're doing, but it's like, just tone it down. Just a little bit, and it would be really, really, really good.
At least she's not doing the Irish jig anymore.
Oh, thank God for that.
So she sort of, when she first debuted, she was doing the Irish jig, and now it was a little too much, so she's trying to find herself now.
Yeah, and they're doing a nice job making her different and kind of making her another anti-diva, in the sense that she's, you know, hard rock and the most non-girly girl you really have right now, in terms of all the female wrestlers. But it's just, it's good energy, it's just, it's like so in your face, you kind of actually have to take a step back from it. So it's like, if she just, like I said, if she just toned it down.
It's almost, it's almost a Vicky Guerrero quality.
Yeah. It's like, just turn down the knob, just, you know, a little bit, and it would be good. Just
imagine if she teamed with Mojo Rawley and all that hyperness.
Oh my god.
Oh good lord.
That's kind of, yeah, no. Moving on.
Just have this match where you just see whose blood vessel bursts first.
Yeah, anyway, moving on. We get a commercial. When we come back, we have Enzo Amore. He comes back out with Colin Cassidy, and he has a message for Sylvester LaFleur. He says that he's putting it on the line, and he's walking the walk and talking the talk. He's putting the mohawk against whatever is on Sylvester's head for NXT TakeOver. Colin says that if you aren't down with that, you're S-A-W-F-T soft.
It's not how you spell soft, though.
Yeah, yes, but when you misspell things, it's cooler.
Oh, so the King Kins way of spelling. Gotcha.
They're from New York. Just pointing that out. No offense, people in New York.
No offense, yeah. Anyway, I like that Enzo made the challenge. He was very fired up about it. And we're getting a classic hair versus hair match in NXT. That's awesome.
That's pretty fun.
I can't wait. It should be fun.
After that, we get Mojo Rawley, Mr. Hyper himself, taking on Jobber B, Steve Cutler.
Hey, Steve made it to TV. Whoever Steve may be. Mojo basically beat him up for a while. Steve Cutler took control for a little bit. But Mojo made his big comeback with hard Irish whips a bunch of times into the corners, back and forth. A couple big splashes in the corner, hit the rear view, and then the hyperdrive for the win. Basically, Mojo Rawley getting back on track after losing last week, costing his team the victory in the tag title tournament. So Mojo gets back on control and on the winning side of things.
Yay! After the match, Mojo took the mic and he has something to say to Bull Dempsey. He says that he stays hyped. Last week he didn't keep his head on a swivel and Bull Dempsey lit him up. Mojo tells Bull that he's still standing here and he will take whatever Bull's got. If Bull thinks that he is just a smile, the smile is gone and he will show what it means to stay hyped. So Mojo's getting serious.
All I could think about is the Shawn Michaels, I've lost my smile line.
They mentioned it.
They did. I know, Renee, you mentioned it. It's tremendous.
I was more thinking, oh god, it's more Bull Dempsey.
More White Taz, I know.
No, I don't want more Bull Dempsey. No.
No, seriously, Omega, he's the White Taz. Listen to the way he talks, the way he moves, the way he looks. Just imagine if he was looked like Taz. He's the White Taz.
I haven't seen him yet.
Oh, when you do, you'll see his White Taz.
I will admit, I've kind of lost track of NXT the last few weeks.
Well, they're all archived on the WWE Network for $9.99. But to be fair, he was trained by Taz. So, that's kind of the reason why he looks like it moves like the White Taz.
Could be a correlation there. Not sure, though. Anyway, we move to your main event of the evening, which is Sin Cara taking on Mr. Lucha Kalisto versus Sami Zayn and Adam Rose in the NXT Tag Team Title Tournament.
I love the 180 Renee Young has taken with the bunny. For a long time on commentary, she was all about the bunny. Now not so much.
She's been hanging around JBL too much.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
So the bunny made his appearance at NXT. The Rosebud Express was in full express.
She does have a point, though. That bunny looks horribly depressed.
That was the different costume. It was kind of sad.
The saddest little bunny costume I've ever seen.
Kalisto and Rose started things out. They battled for position for a while. Zane got tagged in. Sin Cara got the same sort of tag in. Worked over, Zane goes to work over the arm of Sin Cara, but they basically did a bunch of chain wrestling, and fans chanted, Olé! There was a big arm drag that sent Rose to the outside, not Rose, Zane to the outside. Sin Cara and Kalisto tease a big double team dive to the outside, but think twice as they taunt Mr. Sami Zayn on the outside. Lucha chants, we go to break. I will come back. Kalisto and Rose are in the ring. Kalisto's in control. Works over with the headlock. Rose breaks it up with a belly-to-back suplex and sort of gets a little bit of control. Tags in Zayn. Zayn with a nice backbreaker. Goes for a snapmare. Kalisto stayed on his feet, which was nice. And then, I guess that's a double springing back head scissors? Whatever it was, my Kalisto was very impressive. Sin Cara goes for a moonsault. Zayn moved down the way. Sin Cara came back to take down Zayn. Kalisto got caught into a nice tilt-a-whirl by Zayn for a two count. Rose then slows down the pace, works over Kalisto, slowing down basically the pace of the matchup for a while. Rose goes into the corner after Kalisto. He came out and hit him with a nice spine buster for a long two count. Sin Cara gets tagged in, hits a couple big cross bodies. Dane comes in, gets taken out with the head scissors, and then Sin Cara gets a big springboard back elbow for a two count. Sin Cara dives to the outside on the Zayn, taking him out. Rose lays out Kalisto with a clothesline, but he springs back up and nails him with a clothesline, followed by his backflip neckbreaker. And then Sin Cara comes off the top rope, hits the senton for the victory. Sin Cara and Kalisto, without music, I think it was, win the match.
Yeah, I don't think they got their music, but this was a great, great match.
Good match. Good solid stuff between the two. I wanted to see Rose and Zayn move on, sadly, but not to be.
Yeah, it's a little disconcerting that they're moving the team with the WWE main roster superstar on, just because Zayn and Rose were such a fun team, but it's like they were just thrown together, so I understand why. But it just is like,
Well, this is Sin Cara number two, who normally worked NXT anyway.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but yeah. Still. it's Sin Cara.
That's the thing. It's a completely new guy now who's way better than the old guy. It's like, it's still Sin Cara.
Does he impress you that much?
No.
Okay, so it's still the same Sin Cara then.
But I have confidence that he's not going to impress me.
I don't think that's a good thing.
No, it is. Because, okay, let's be fair. The original Sin Cara, very impressive. In horrible ways. Like, I am amazed that you got that wrong so badly. This is a Sin Cara that, during a lumberjack match, botched falling down.
Well, kind of hard to fall down in a lumberjack match.
Not when everyone falls down around you, and then you just stand there for like 2 seconds, and then go, huh.
He was like that one last bowling pin that just takes a while to go down. That's all it was.
Okay, so he's the 9-pin that stares at all the other pins and then goes, oh, yeah.
That extra piece of wind just goes, hey, it finally fell out.
Maybe he fainted in shock.
Maybe.
Just like an old movie, he got the vapors. Ha ha.
So, overall, what did we think of the show? Because I got nothing after that.
Better than last week. Better than last week. Good quality matches. Especially the main event was good. I liked the women's match. It was very good stuff between Charlotte and Becky Lynch. And I'm looking forward to Charlotte and it's Bayley coming up in 3 weeks at TakeOver.
Go Bayley. Get your some. Just not too much.
Just not too much.
I don't want her to get hurt. It's like her and Alexa Bliss. It's like, they're just so adorable.
Alexa Bliss doing the ice bucket challenge was kind of interesting, too.
Yeah, it was kind of cute.
She wasn't ready. It was tremendous.
I'm more like, who was it? Eva Marie, who actually ran away from it?
Uh-huh.
It's like, dude, come on.
She just couldn't handle it.
And meanwhile, there's Ronda Rousey looking like a complete badass while she did it. In a dress and heels, I might add.
Yeah, she did. Eve Torres had a good one.
Eve Torres had a good one, too. Yeah. But Rousey's kind of becoming my hero. She's pretty amazing.
She's a Bray Wyatt fan.
She is, and still waiting for Bray Wyatt to do that goddamn ice bucket challenge. He hasn't done it yet.
He was called out by his brother, Bo Dallas.
No, he was called out by that guy that thinks he's his brother, but isn't really his brother, Bo Dallas.
That guy. Mr. Cheese himself. Captain Mushroom Pants.
Yeah, Captain Mushroom Pants. So on that note, we're going to take our second break of the evening.
I'm so glad I don't have context for that.
We'll explain it to you later.
Oh, no.
When we come back, we're going to be talking all about this weekend's exciting SummerSlam. We'll fill you in on everything that happened. We're also going to be talking about the partial roster reveal for WWE 2K15, because I hear that was a pretty nifty panel. And we have Tweet of the Week, and of course our question of the night, which is, what are you most excited to see in WWE 2K15? So I can't wait to hear those answers. You're listening to The Rock right here on Wild Talk Radio.com. Right back.
Oppan Gangnam Style.
Looking for some wrestle talk?
I wonder how many people we lost when we start talking hockey. Four.
Coming too, huh?
Fucking Canadians taking over. What the hell?
No, what's he doing? He doesn't work Saturdays.
Yeah, I'm not working. I'm having fun. This is me having fun. See, when I have fun and I'm loose and relaxed, you know.
You sound like you're having fun.
I sound like I'm having fun. And I don't sound like I'm intentionally making bad jokes, so you guys can pick up.
Then step into the ring Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, for Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yes, tune in to listen to Tim Stein crack bad jokes and pretend he's funny. He's my neighbor. He's poor. He cannot afford that pot. He only has that pot now. No, that is girl's like pot. Go have a Coke and a smile.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Java! Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moment.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a gap. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down! He just got the Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience. The evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know, the show hasn't gone anywhere, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Dog goes woof, cat goes meow, bird goes tweet, and mouse goes squeak. Cow goes moo, frog goes crow, and the elephant goes toot. Ducks say quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
And welcome back to The Ref right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your action figure needs. And, well, now we're going to take a little bit of break. Hopefully we are not going to hear what the fox says, because...
Fox says, what the hell was that?
Random music. What it was.
No, it's meme music.
That too. Anyway.
You two heard nothing I said, did you?
No.
They ignore me.
No, no voice came out.
What do you mean no voice came out?
There was no voice. Just, anyway, what?
So I did the whole intro back and nobody heard it.
We heard that part.
Heard the intro.
We heard the intro, then we started to bicker.
Anyway, tweet of the week. Now go.
I don't get to come back, do I?
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time we'll in my space it. Until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting no more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure. So, John Cena. Success is the result of perfection, hard work, learning from failure, loyalty, and persistence. Colin Powell. Little Kariba. I hope I said his name right.
Karibo.
Karibo. Thank you. At John Cena at WWE. I don't remember Colin Powell getting suplexed 16 times in a row.
Thank you for reading that part of the tweet. Thank you.
You're welcome. I had to. I saw that and I'm like, oh my god, favorite.
Little Karibo is a funny bastard.
Sami Zayn. The only thing I enjoy more than wrestling is a sensual wailing saxophone solo during a lovemaking scene from an 80s movie. Hashtag Tequila Sunrise. Renee Young. I just saw John Voight today. I just watched Midnight Cowboy. Cool. Sami Zayn. Wait, so how much does the WWE Network cost exactly?
I forget.
Yeah, I know, something nine something.
But he's French and Canadian, so there's different money value.
Anyway, Jose Luis Perales at Renee Young WWE. You can learn most of your life lessons by watching the Looney Tunes. And she goes, I couldn't have said it better myself.
You really could. You really, really could.
That's how you like get all your life lessons. Mm-hmm. And finally, Renee Young. I want to live my life always wearing a neck pillow.
Oh, her water bucket challenge was pretty epic too.
Oh, it was hilarious.
So, my turn now?
Your turn now. Unless Omega has some.
I barely follow anyone on Twitter.
Okay.
Okay. Frankie Kazarian, also at Daniels and I are Diamond, Double Diamond on Delta. Yes, that's a thing. On a first name basis with Richard Anderson, or Dick as we call him. Aries replied, hashtag A double wants to double like your double diamond dick tweet. Daniels replied, double diamond dick was the proposed name of the Sky Miles mascot. Designers couldn't agree on the wardrobe. There's that. Rockstar Spud got tweeted, what they call a nickel, I reckon. As soon as please, I have to fly to UK. I used my one phone call, hashtag free Spud. He was also tweeting from jail and begging for bail money. Hashtag free Spud.
Poor Spud.
He was taken to jail. FTW podcast. Cena's already at a disadvantage. Nikki's heel turn has to be in his head, right? Hashtag SummerSlam. Betty freaking White. The Little Mermaid seemed way more excited about her new fleet, her new feet than her new vagina. Hashtag The Little Mermaid.
She discovered that on the wedding night.
Yeah. Hashtag Next Big Charity Challenge. Dunk your balls in scalding coffee for AIDS.
Wow.
Hashtag Next Big Charity Challenge. Give your nickels back for Nickelback. Same hashtag. Shake weight challenge for Parkinson's awareness.
Aww.
Get pregnant, carry to term, give birth to raise awareness for overpopulation. Punch Bieber, cure AIDS. Worth a try.
That's one of the at midnight Twitter takeover games.
Oh, it is. I have a bunch more, too. Hands in the air like the cops don't care.
Wait. How close to you are...
Not that far. I don't have that many.
Okay.
But I have a punch from the Twitter game. That's what I meant.
He has a cap.
Yeah, at 50. Kick me in the balls for testicular cancer awareness. Hand jobs for good jobs. Cupcakes for childhood obesity. Burn a dollar challenge. Each dollar you burn helps prevent one business from replacing you with a robot. Stop brushing your teeth to help find a cure for tennis elbow. The buying stuff challenge to cure the American economy. Slap an ass for your own personal pleasure. Give a tooth to a meth head or a hockey player. Show your butt for colon cancer. Let's see. Shark Boy tweeted, Now the next question. What to name the baby shark? Need boy names and girl names, because we don't know which it is. Gregory Helms goes, Nemo. Shark Boy replied, LOL, I can't name the baby that because if he or she got lost, nobody would believe me when I said I was finding Nemo.
Groot. Name it Groot.
Here's a few hashtag stoner songs. We didn't start the fire, just can't get a blunt. Holy crap, what did that fox say? Great buds of fire, sweet Mary Jane, smells like green spirit. Highway to Taco Bell. I can't believe it's just butter. CM Punk tweeted, my wife is finally watching The Walking Dead, and I'm fighting the urge to blurt out dead every time a character who dies later pops up. So far, she hates everybody I hate and likes Daryl, so all is well. And to quote AJ Lee from a CM Punk tweet, are you supposed to hate Lori because I hate her? Here are a few hashtag sad products. Cool AIDS. Kraft Single Parents. Adobe Selfie Shop. Taco Bell's Palsy. Armed and Hammered. And finally, from the ODB on Twitter, love getting waxed, and especially when the lady says, her hubby loves me. Oh boy, what's going to be their dinner conversation? Yikes. Hashtag man.
Wow.
Imagine that conversation.
So
yeah.
Rock just read his entire Twitter feed.
Not really, no.
No. You should have heard him after the Super Bowl. He
that.
There's a reason he has 50 tweets, and that's all he's allowed was that show. Because he literally had 50 tweets, and he tried to go with more.
Oh my god.
There are nights where things are just funny.
Yeah, it's like he literally went through the Super Bowl hashtag and favorited everything. And
it was during the game, basically.
Yeah, but still, that's why he has a cap.
Yeah, I go a little overboard sometimes. I have to compensate. She doesn't always have a lot of tweets, so I compensate.
So you put aside 40 or 45 spares.
Yeah. I'm looking out for my partner in crime, that's all.
Anyway, now we're going to get to the really juicy stuff, the stuff that everybody's been waiting for, and that is we're going to be talking all about the WWE 2K15 roster reveal, at least the partial roster, because, you know, they didn't reveal the whole thing, which, of course, leads to our question of the night, which is, who are you most excited to see in WWE 2K15?
To start that off, Mason, everybody, just because, you know, he likes the graphics. There were people, if the Facebook thing would work. The Usos, they finally made it. Bray Wyatt and the Usos, there's one for Curtis Axel. People wanted to see what The Undertaker looked like, and John Cena that they've already seen, maybe they didn't really see it. But yeah, those are some of the people in there, and we're going to go through the roster in just a second, but... let's go through some of the roster first, and then I'll bring that other part up.
Okay.
Alright, so you want to read off some of the names? The first bit of them?
Do I have to go in alphabetical order, or can I just point out Boo Boo?
You can build up to him.
Alright, well, starting off in alphabetical order, so I can build faster, we have the beloved our personal hero on the network, AJ Lee.
I'm going to stop you right now. The next two were not officially announced at the roster reveal. Continue.
Okay, so we're skipping two.
No, you can announce them, but they never actually... when they did the live thing, they never actually said their names, but it's official. They just weren't
mentioned. It's official, and it's kind of interesting, given the circumstances, and I know they cannot take Alberto Del Rio out of the game, but he is in the game. Bad News Barrett is in the game. Batista, Big E, Big Show, and one of the first people announced... which makes me so happy, and the person that I'm most excited to see in the game, or one of the people I'm most excited to see, is Bray Wyatt.
He was the first name put out there. So, there's another reason I could go on and on, but we'll stick with him as the reason we're going to bring this thing up. So...
Oh, gee, we're talking about Bray Wyatt on the show. That never
happens. I know, right.
Man, I'm glad I'm here for it.
So, WWE... 2K15 is going to be basically being modeled for the new generation systems, Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
It's so pretty.
And we've talked about multiple weeks on this show how they've spent a lot of time doing a lot of mocap and a lot of scanning thanks to visual concepts.
Wait, you don't have pictures of him in the light suit, do you?
No,
damn
I don't.
Damn it.
There's no pictures like that. There's a picture of Sting being fully scanned. Which is kind of, there's so many cameras that get everything. But they've had to invent new technology for this game.
Oh.
Called beard tech.
Yes! Thank you, Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, and you go from there. They've had to come up with new technology called beard tech to basically... get exactly what the beards are. Scanning doesn't do beards or hair well, so for guys like Daniel Bryan, we needed to use this new beard tech to get him just right. There is this little specific code of technology that we use to get the beard just right, and no beard is alike. Daniel Bryan is more open and scraggly, whereas if you look at a guy like Mark Henry, he has a big beard. It's thick and solid. We need to create technology to be able to capture both in a way that not only look great still, but animate it. So the beard will move and be animated.
I'm really eager to see how they do the hair in this one, especially for the girls. Because there are a lot of women in this game this year. And in the past, the hair has just been really kind of sad and awkward.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see how they do it this year.
To take a quote from Sting, wrestling icon Sting was also scanned for the game in a full crow-like costume, face paint. Which makes his first appearance in the game. They got me from head to toe, every detail down to the way I furrow my eyebrows. I've seen myself in a lot of video games, but this is the best quality I've ever seen. Even it goes down to the point where you get Randy Orton sinister smirks in the game, his tattoos, and even, like, scars on his head.
Wow.
That's how detailed they got in the scanning. But let's continue on the roster.
Boo-boo. Just to reiterate, Brie Bella, Brock Lesnar, Cameron.
Stop. She was not announced during the roster reveal.
Oh, okay, fine. But she's on, you know what? She's on the page.
No.
You made me go pull up.
Hey, I'm throwing these facts out because I watched the whole thing. That's all.
Okay, well, here's the
thing.
Yeah,
but don't interrupt her every single time one comes up. Just wrap it up at the end.
There was only like four of them, and the three of them were in the top two
okay,
rows.
Okay, who's the fourth?
I don't know. I have to find out. Keep going. No, I know it was Axel and Ryback. They weren't announced.
Okay, fine.
That's not the fourth.
Ryback.
That's the fourth and fifth.
I forgot about Ryback. Sorry.
Everyone forgets about Ryback.
Ryback was not announced, but they are in the game.
Oh, and so is Summer Rae. Now that I scroll down.
Oh my god.
Anyway, moving on.
Hey, I watched this 90-minute panel. By the way, if you can go to IGN.com right now and watch the panel, it's freaking amazing.
I'm not doubting you watching the panel. I'm doubting your counting skills.
I was guessing with numbers. Anyway, continue.
You didn't take notes.
No, I did. They're on Twitter, but I've tweeted a lot since then.
Here, we'll hook you up with some Sesame Street episodes later on. I know a vampire who can help you.
Sweet. Anyway, continue.
Chris Jericho, And the one a lot of people are surprised at, that some people were happy about, some people are up in arms about, and some people are indifferent about, CM Punk.
Go ahead.
He will not be, I believe, a regular player in the game. He will be in one specific mode only.
No, he's in the full game.
Oh, he's in the full game? Okay.
He's in the full game, but he's featured in the 2K showcase. They called him the best in the world, CM Punk. And just quickly blew by him during the roster reveal. And what's come out is a lot of these people, everyone in the game, all the living people that are going to be in the game, so a lot of people who passed away sadly won't be in this year's game because they're trying to work that technology out because they're doing full body scans. CM Punk did not go to get scanned.
So they're doing a model?
Yeah. So he will look lesser quality compared to the rest because he sadly did not go in and get scanned because, well...
He left.
Left. Yeah, pretty much. So couldn't even do it for the video game. Team player. So, he's such a team player. That CM Punk guy.
Yeah, worth your loyalty.
So Cody Rhodes, as we said before, Curtis Axel, Damian Sandow, Daniel Bryan, Darren Young, which is a little surprising because he's been out hurt recently. Dean Ambrose, another one that I'm excited to see. Dolph Ziggler, Eric Rowan, yay!
They had Dean in his Shield gear. They had all the Shield members in the Shield gear, just for reference point.
Yeah, I'm not surprised because the Shield was still together when.
It's also why CM Punk and everything is still in there because the stuff gets worked on 6-9 months in advance.
Yeah.
You know, once you hard code it into the game, you can't take it back out without basically redoing the whole thing.
And they don't want to do that. So, Fandango will be cha-chaing his way across your screen if you want. Goldust, the Hulkamania edition of Hulk Hogan, and Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Jack Swagger. Both Usos, so there you go, IWC. Are you happy now?
Oh, so quick story about that. Well, not really about that, but about the IWC. Subway really, for the first time ever this week, learned what the IWC was and didn't realize it would stand for Internet Wrestling Community.
Oh, dear.
And he was taking shots at the IWC. Not really. He was a part of it.
Go sub. Anyway, John Cena, Justin Gabriel, Kane, Kofi Kingston, Luke Harper, woohoo! Mark Henry, Naomi, Natalya, Nikki Bella, R-Truth, Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio, Roman Reigns, RVD.
Woohoo!
He woohooed right there. There will be 4 different outfits for John Cena in the video game.
Nice!
Because from 2001 to 2013, he had 4 different colors, so you have to be specific. As you go along.
I need jorts in that many colors.
You get the jorts, probably the camo gear, the beige shorts he wears. You get them all in the game.
That means that they could do alternate gear for the Shield.
They probably will. Right now the models have them as in the Shield gear.
Yeah, they'll probably DLC in the extra costumes.
Yeah, I would imagine. But Ryback, Santino, I miss him. Seth Rollins.
Oh, before we continue, here's another thing. Santino may be making a comeback.
Yay!
We reported he may have retired, but apparently he saw a second opinion, and he possibly could make making a comeback in a few months.
Yay! Come back, Santino. We miss you. Seth Rollins, Shawn Michaels.
Who will probably have multiple outfits because, well, he wore a lot.
Yes. Sheamus, Stone Cold Steve Austin, both versions of Sting, Crow, and Retro.
If you pre-order the video game, that's how you get Sting.
Yes. Or if you wait.
Yeah, or if you wait.
And it costs like $1.
Summer Rae, Tamina, The Miz, The Rock, The Undertaker, Titus O'Neil, Triple H, Tyson Kidd, and Xavier Woods.
That's the partial roster. Partial is the key word.
Which is almost the full main roster.
Yeah, there are certain people missing. You can clearly see there are a few people missing that you could throw in there. Some of the newer people, like Paige. Many were surprised she was not announced. but she'll probably be out of via DLC or at a later point. And again,
she might be a part of the NXT stuff,
which will probably feature Bo Dallas.
Yes.
There's no Legends roster yet either.
Which was what I brought up earlier, that a lot of the deceased wrestlers who are usually in the video games probably won't be, because they're trying to feature the new scan technology, and to get everything right, they want to spend a lot of time getting those models correct.
They do like to include all those older wrestlers, though, just for name value. Just, well, you want to play as like Andre the Giant and all them.
Oh, you do, but it's kind of hard when you're creating a new system.
Yes, true, but at the same time, you can't. You have options available. Like, I don't think they can scan in Jake Roberts right now and actually get him correct.
They probably could. You're more looking for facial reactions when you do the full scan, if you think about it. You could do Razor. You probably get a Razor Ramon at some point and stuff like that. People like that in the game. Nash probably in.
Here's the thing, you can do a full scan of them, and then smooth it all out. Because once you get the data into the computer, you can take it into modeling software, and you can smooth out all the wrinkles and make them look younger, and do really whatever you want with it, because you have a full 3D model of them that you scanned. So as long as their face is pretty much the same, and hasn't been altered, you can do a lot with it once you get it in the computer.
Right. So they're spending a lot of time. I like the roster. A lot of people were disappointed with this roster because there weren't many legends announced. And for someone who plays the game, it's cool that the legends are in there. But after a while, when you see the same legends over and over again, it kind of gets repetitive. Like, Eddie Guerrero has been in a lot of video games since he's passed away. So it's like, how much can you really do with Eddie Guerrero at this point? People like him. And if you take a lot of legends down, it gives new people a chance to be in the video game.
Yeah, I mean, what's nice is pretty much the full regular roster is featured in this game this year, which hasn't happened in a while. I mean, I like the legends. I think the legends are cool. But it's nice to be able to play as, say, Tamina or Summer Rae, because a lot of the divas are in the game. Very few of them didn't make it.
there are a bunch of divas in the game. The usual amount, I would assume, is in the game. There's like eight or so, maybe. Six.
Well, sometimes in these games, they completely forget there are divas.
Right.
You know, you get a roster with like 70 guys and like 5 girls.
Right. And from the screenshots that people took at SummerSlam weekend, there's like space for like 92 people in this video game, so there's probably a bunch more to come. I think we're at about 56 to 60 people, so.
Yeah, and I'm sure the rest will, because I noticed that, you know, Miss All Red Everything isn't in it, and Rosa Mendez isn't in it, and a couple of the other divas didn't make it. Some of the main roster guys didn't make it, so they'll either be announced later, or they'll probably be DLC.
But the Usos are in.
But the Usos are in, y'all, so the internet can finally shut up about that.
Every year it's the big deal. The Usos aren't in the video game, but they finally did enough.
Hey.
After 4 years.
Hey, good for them, though. What? Like, that shows how far they've come in the last year.
Oh, I know. It's great.
It's absolutely fantastic, and they've deserved to be in the game the whole time, but it's just like, it's amazing to me how people are like, oh, the Usos aren't in the game. It's like, you never miss them on TV, but you miss them in a video game?
To be fair, for half, it was just like a joke.
It was a joke, pretty much. You know what's interesting? Zack Ryder did not make this video game.
Not surprised.
With his big internet following, I figured he would have. Would have been good marketing for them.
Yeah, no. I'm actually kind of surprised that Xavier Woods made the game.
Yeah, that's a pretty random choice. I mean, you see Xavier in there, but no Brodus, who would have been around when they were producing it.
Just like, it's kind of odd that Justin Gabriel's in the game, and he hasn't been on WWE TV in a while.
I don't know these for facts, but maybe they were a couple of guys who were doing a lot of the moves.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if that's a fact, but that seems logical to me.
But it's just, it's again, it's, you see who all's in the game, and it's like the usual names are there, the people that were getting pushed at the time that the game was getting produced are all there, and then there's just some random people that you look at and you're like, dude, that person hasn't been on TV in like 3 months. You know, what the hell? So, it's just kind of interesting. I'm curious to see how everybody looks, because from the images of John Cena and Randy Orton, holy crap.
Yeah, and some of that gameplay footage that was leaked, yeah, this is, there's going to be a few kinks to the system in the game, but this is the first time 2K has officially, this is their game.
Right.
Last year was partial their game. This is their game, and they're changing things completely. This is going to be a brand new game. So they're starting from scratch, their own way, different way. They've improved a lot of things from what I've been reading. So this is their game. They're doing it their way. And by the looks of it, this technology they got, pretty good. I've heard that the Money in the Bank 2011 arena looks really, really accurate.
Well, good.
I am really looking forward to seeing how it turns out. I do admit, looking at the previous games, they upped the graphics, but for the most part, it still looks the same every year. It just gets stale.
Right, and this year they've actually readjusted the ring size to make it to scale now. No,
that was nice of them.
No, from just the size of the ring to the size of the ropes, now everything's proportional the right way it should be. Because you couldn't do it with the old technology. With the new gen system, you have more available to you.
That's absolutely amazing to me. The open world games I've played that were on the Xbox 360, they were on the PS3, I don't see why it was so impossible. They can't just make the ring bigger.
But you don't notice it. Like, you thought it looked, there was no problem with the ring. Until you go, oh, hey, we've changed it. Does it look bigger now?
Yeah, but these games have, you know, game production is like huge money now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, millions go into producing these games. At no point should you have anyone in development going, that's good enough.
It's what studios can do. You can tell the difference between difference between studios that produce the games.
Oh, yeah.
Visual Concepts, who are the ones doing all the scanning technology and help building the game. If you look at some of the NBA games, you can see how good of a job they do over the years.
Yeah, I've played several 2K games, not just sports games, and yeah, they have a pretty high bar for quality.
Quality counts.
Well, quality is what sells your games. Because I've been looking at the footage, and just like, I may have to invest in this at some point because it's pretty sweet.
Lindsay's heard my stories of, oh, hey, I'm investing in a new system coming up.
No, it's more Lindsay saw the game and Lindsay's going, oh my god, it's so pretty.
Oh, I know that. I'm just saying you've heard my stories of me going, oh my god, I need to get a new system now.
Well, I need to get a new system just because they don't make games for my system.
Yeah, they don't make games for the Wii anymore.
Bastards. Finally invest in one after years and stop making stuff for it. Those jerks.
Because you invest in the ones. Anyway.
Anyway, you know what? It was cheap and I didn't have a lot of money. So, moving on from here, I don't think Rock or Omega got to say who they were excited to see.
Bray Wyatt, Daniel Bryan, just to see how they do the hair and beards. The beard tech.
The beard tech?
Yeah.
What about you, Omega?
I think the easy answers for me are like Sting and RVD. But my honest answer was going to be the Usos. Like, you know, I'm happy that not only did they make the roster, they made the first wave of announcements. They've come a long way. It's been very hard fought, very well earned.
I would agree with that. So, congratulations to everybody that made the first announcement. You're here the second one. But now I say we move on and talk about what Omega came for, and we punished him, you know, going 2 hours through the whole show, just to talk about
because I've suffered so much.
You have. You totally have, and you've been such a trooper.
I can go back and play Call Me Maybe again.
No.
If he hasn't suffered, I could make him, I could torture him some more.
No.
What does the fox say?
Don't really feel like that much pain tonight, no.
You can torture him on Sunday.
I can torture him on Saturday with Cards Against Humanity. Anyway, let's get to SummerSlam.
Let's talk about SummerSlam.
This was a pretty, pretty good show from top to bottom. There was only like one bad match that I thought, but we'll get into that. I should ask the question now, but before we get into it deep, who saw the pre-show?
Not it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, one of the two saw the pre-show. Awesome.
I was eating dinner.
It was sort of the way it was on Sunday, so here we go. Rob Van Dam took on Cesaro. This was a pretty, pretty good match. Both back and forth early. But Cesaro took control with a nice gut-wrench suplex, which that took him the break. Cesaro at one point caught him in mid-air, drove him in with a slam, and then a double stomp, which went, ow, my chest hurts. RVD made a comeback, had a leg scissor roll up for two count, hit the split leg moonsault. He went with the thrust kick, knocking Cesaro to the outside, then did his springboard moonsault onto the outside onto Cesaro. RVD climbs the top rope. Cesaro nails him with an uppercut as he was up top. Cesaro goes for a superplex, gets knocked off. Cesaro gets backed up. Uppercut. Cesaro gets shoved off. Cesaro gets back up. Hits with an uppercut. And repeat. He goes for a superplex, gets knocked off. But this time, RVD dove off the top rope with a crossbody. But got nailed with an uppercut. So RVD got the fly, but still ended up eating an uppercut. RVD countered the neutralizer. Eats the big boot, though, for a two count. RVD goes for a kick. Cesaro ducks. Slapped him. But RVD hit the spin heel kick. And then went to the top rope. It's a 5-star frog splash for the victory. Rob Van Dam wins. The best spot of the match was the superplex. No. Uppercut. Superplex. No. Uppercut.
They had fun with it.
They did.
I've had games of Mortal Kombat like that.
And then after the match, Cesaro went to the WWE kickoff panel table, which was on the stage. Because they had no room in the sample center for it, so they put it on the stage. He went to the table and complained that the referee counted too fast. While the referee was holding him up. Because he was hurting.
Oops.
So now we get to the main show, and Hulk Hogan opened up and plugged the WWE Network. And talked about how dreams are made and how superstars can etch their names in the history books. On the WWE Network for only $9.99.
Shill it, Hogan, shill it.
So Authority Studios and Follow the Buzzard Films presents SummerSlam. I like that.
That was kind of cool.
It's a nice little thing and made me, Lindsay, wonder. Something's up.
Oh, I agree. It's like, uh-oh. Is that the coming twist? Do we know?
Maybe. But it was a nice opening package. I spent a lot of time on it. Opening contest of the evening, Miz takes on Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental Championship. Miz said he was basically going to make Dolph Ziggler the WWE version of the Lakers. Because, you know, Lakers have sucking lately. So.
Overpaid, under-talented, and observed by Jack Nicholson?
Uh-huh. Pretty much. So, Ziggler goes to hit the Miz with a big right hand, but Miz was like, you ain't touching my money maker, and gets to the outside. He goes for a Luthes press. Goes for the right hand, it's part of the Luthes press, but Miz escaped again because he's protecting his money maker. We had a You Can't Wrestle chant directed to the Miz while he had a chin lock on Ziggler. Miz connected with a big boot to Ziggler right to his face. Miz comes off the top rope, got nailed with in the midsection with a shot to the ribs. After he missed the double axe handle, this allowed Miz to take control. He goes to dump Ziggler out of the ring. Ziggler skinned the cat back in, went for a super kick, got rolled up. Ziggler then hit the super kick for a long two count. Miz then was like, I've had enough. Gonna take the title, gonna leave. Ziggler hits him with a baseball slide. Ziggler gets him back in the ring. And the Miz nailed him with a knee right to the face. Goes for the figure four, but Ziggler finally gets to the ropes. Ziggler was able to hit the Fame Master, but Miz got right back up. Hit the Skull Crossing Finale, two count. Then Miz goes for a running kick. Ziggler ducked. Zigzag, your winner and new Intercontinental Champion, Dolph Ziggler.
That famouser spot.
Yeah. What?
Okay, so for those who are watching this, Ziggler hit the famouser so hard, Miz bounced all the way back up to his feet in just the right spot to hit the Skull Crushing Finale before he went down.
Yes.
Miz sold the famouser so hard, he went all the way around to no-selling it.
Yes.
It's the weirdest damn spot I've ever seen.
But it was kind of sick. You have to admit that. It looked good.
Oh, it looked good. I'm not taking that away, but dude just no-sold Billy Gunn's finisher.
Guess he wasn't an ass man.
He was not the one.
Nor was his
Chuck
gun.
Chuck Palumbo will be so relieved.
Nor was his gun smoking. Anyway, get all the Billy Gunn reference in as we can. For the record,
Rockabilly.
It's the only one left.
Well, I don't know. Did Miz just suck it or what?
In the pre-show, everyone picked Cesaro, but Mega on this panel. So he got that one right, picked RVD. And in the opener, let's see, everyone picked The Miz.
Just say it. We all did shit in the picks this time around. Just say it.
We're going match my match, because I have to scroll up and find the email, because he didn't send it correctly last time. Anyway. So there you go.
All did horribly in the pit.
Yeah, this was the screw the IWC pay-per-view of the year.
So then we had a Brie Bella interview. She talked about, she did a lot of reflecting. No matter how hard you get knocked down, you get back up.
Miz proved that?
He did that. He said all the bogus charges were dropped. She thought about how she tortured Nikki and calling her husband a B-plus player and how she paid off the therapist to say lies. She's not going to let this slip through her fingers. She's going to take down the she-beast because it's best for business.
The Brie mode across her boobs bothered me. I'm just going to say that out loud.
Generally, I don't like any attire that forces me to read a girl's boobs.
Yeah, because you had such a problem staring at them.
Well, it invites lawsuits. That's all I'm saying.
So girls should not wear any writing on their t-shirts. Because it usually ends up there.
I'm not saying girls shouldn't wear any writing on their t-shirts. It's just the way that the Brie mode was laid out because, well, Brie, honey, no offense, you really don't have anything. So there's not enough real estate to support it.
Like how we're calling it the boobs real
the
estate.
The billboard's not big enough for the ad.
There you go. I mean, look at it. It doesn't fit on her top. The Brie mode, I think, was bigger than her boobs.
She needs to go with Jimmy, or was it Jimmy? Or Jay? I don't know. I don't know the Usos apart. Because John Uso, we'll call him John Uso, because that's what he's called in the show. John Uso and Trinity. To the boob doctor again, because that was tremendous.
No, she just needs to go with her sister. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait, we'll get to that. And yeah, we'll get to that later. Up next, Hey Jay Lee takes on Paige, and we talked about this a month ago. They held back last month. This time, not so much.
Oh, the gloves came off in this one.
And so did almost a hand, because Paige offers a handshake, AJ shakes, and then, well, what does she do? She bites the hand.
That's my girl.
Then they got physical. Paige goes outside and knocks AJ into the table. She goes for a hard kick, drags her into the ropes. AJ blocked the kick. Paige had AJ up on her shoulders and dropped her right onto the guardrail and then did a little bit of a skip. Paige slowly crawls on top of AJ. Just use that visual for a second. And then lays into AJ with headbutts and pulls out AJ's hair.
Wait, let me go to Mace's Facebook for that.
He was very proud that he got that picture and was able to put it up on his Facebook page.
It's a good picture.
It's a good picture. The GIF is even better. It's going to become her thing, so get used to it, people. Paige had her lean on the ropes, drive their knee into her repeatedly. Ow. Both girls are on the top rope. AJ knocks her hands off the ropes and dumps her to the outside. She took a hard fall. AJ goes to the top. Big dive right down on Paige on the outside. AJ rolls her back in the ring, hits the running knee along two count. Paige goes for a super kick right to the face. Big time, connected. She goes for the Paige Turner. AJ counters it into the Black Widow. Is Paige going to tap out? No, she's able to escape. And then she hit the Rampage, the DDT maneuver she created.
It's a cradle DDT.
The cradle DDT, the Rampage for the victory. Very nice. Hard-hitting. A lot better performance, Lindsay, than last month.
Oh, this was phenomenally good. I was so happy this went the way that it did, because I'm sitting there going, oh god, if they put in another bad performance, I'm going to cry. But what did you think, Omega?
I was happy with it. Not so much with the finish, but I was happy with the match. We knew these two were talented. We knew they were both really good workers. They just didn't have a chance to actually turn it loose yet.
Paige has found herself. I don't know if you guys agree, but I think she's found herself now.
Oh, yeah. Since they've turned her full on heel, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's so much better.
And by the way, we all picked AJ.
Again, just say that, you know, our picks suck. That's all you have to do, dude. Like, just our picks are crap. They got blown out of the water, and thank you, WWE. That's all you have to say.
I could say that, but anyway, you can say it, I won't.
Thank you, WWE.
Yeah, keep in mind, us having our picks wrong is not a bad thing. It means the product is less predictable.
Oh, no, I agree. I completely agree. I think it's just hilarious that it's like, well, shit, got that one wrong. That one, too. God damn it!
So, that was that match. Our next contest is the flag match. Jack Swagger versus Rusev. They finally decide on the rules. After a long, long struggle on trying to figure them out, the winner gets their flag hung above the ring and their anthem played.
It's a flag match. It had nothing to do with flags.
We spent like 10 minutes last week on the show discussing the rules of a flag match and many different scenarios.
Oh my god.
It's like,
how hard is it to go on the WWE Network for the low, low price of $9.99, search flag match, and actually look to see how someone did it before?
Did you hear the story how it was written, captured a flag rules on WWE.com for a while?
I wanted to capture the flag rules.
And the WWE creative found out that it was written that way and told them to take it off WWE.com. Because they weren't sure of the rules they wanted to use. Yeah, that was why it was like a big decision on what the rules of the match were.
Oh, come on.
Lana tells us there's no happy ending for the US of A. Swagger came out with the color guard, which was kind of cool.
Four of them.
Four of them. kind of cool. And as Swagger is about to plant the flag into the ring, he gets attacked by Rusev. But Swagger recovers and puts the ankle lock in before the match even starts and wears down the ankle of Rusev, and that became the story of this match. Lana was trying to stop him. Lana argued. Rusev was hurt. He was begging the ref, "I can't go. I can't go. I can't go. Ring the bell." So that's what the ref did. He rung the bell. He was ignoring Rusev being hurt. Swagger worked over the ankle. We the people chants were going through the arena. Rusev was trying to walk, but he got taken out with a big clothesline by Swagger. On the outside, Swagger went for the Swagger bomb, but Rusev got his knees up. Again, they put it out on commentary, Swagger shouldn't be going for the Swagger bomb because he had injured ribs, but he's still doing it anyhow. Anyway, Rusev takes down Swagger with a big knee and shots in the corner, goes for a big kick to the chest of Swagger and followed up with a headbutt. It's like, ow, that hurts. Then we have the bear hug. Swagger countered into a nice belly-to-belly to get it out of it. Hit some right hands, big clothesline in the corner, and a follow-up by Big Boot, and then the Swagger bomb, this time connected for a two count. Rusev goes for the kick, but gets caught into the ankle lock, but was able to counter into a power slam by Swagger. Rusev goes for a kick to the ribs. Lana says, "Rusev crush," so he goes, puts the accolade on, but can't do it fully, so he has to modify it as his leg was giving out. And he was trying to pound on this ankle to get some circulation there. Really didn't happen, so he's one knee on the ground and one part of the accolade on. Swagger is able to power out, gets the ankle lock on. Rusev is crawling, trying to get to the ribs, pulled back in the middle. Rusev gets out by kicking him in the ribs, goes for the spin heel kick, and connects as Rusev hits a big splash, locks in the accolade, and on the pain on Rusev's face, he finally showed some emotion as he was having so much pain locking in this accolade, and Jack Swagger passes out. Your winner, Rusev. Thoughts?
I mean, in any other flag match. No. It wasn't a bad match. I don't know. Somehow I expected this to be a little bit more than... I didn't expect it to be as methodical as working body parts. As personal as this was getting, I just kind of expected just one enormous brawl. It wasn't bad for what it was. Having flags on poles might have helped.
I don't know about you, Lindsay, but I thought Rusev was impressive.
I like the fact that Rusev sold the ankle through the whole damn match. That was absolutely fantastic, because a lot of times when they do stuff like that and you have a body part get injured, they sell it for a little bit, but they don't, then they forget about it and they move on. I like that Rusev sold it. I like that he showed emotion and pain from it. The fact that he was struggling. Like, Jack Swagger did so much damage to his ankle that he was struggling to put on the accolade, to walk, to really do anything. Now, granted, he had his moments where he forgot, but it was a wonderful, wonderful job by him, and it finally showed that potential that I've been kind of waiting to see in him. Because, he's always very stone-faced, and he doesn't show a lot of emotion. He doesn't show a lot of anything other than just brute strength, which after a while gets a little dull, I'm not going to lie. So the fact that you saw that potential in Rusev to be able to emote and emote well was pretty cool.
Good stuff all around.
We move on, I have to say the real kind of actual star of this match was JBL. He was so damn offended when Swagger lost.
He was. But the bigger moment after the match, Lana was talking trash to Zeb. Then Rusev kicked Zeb in the head.
Oh, I thought JBL was going to get up.
He's a grandfather. He's a war veteran. How dare you kick a man in the head like that?
You hurt Uncle Zebekiah.
He did. He did. Our next contest of the evening, Lumberjack match. Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, before I get into the match, Lindsay, talk about the Wyatts.
Oh, the Wyatts, how Eric and Luke were standing apart from everybody else, just kind of watching the match.
Yeah.
Like, really, all Eric needed was, or all Luke and Eric needed were boxes of popcorn, and that was it. Because, like, literally, that's pretty much all they did throughout the entire match. They caught people on occasion.
Oh.
But that's about it.
About it. By the way,
are we sure this was a lumberjack match and not, like, an actual, like, climb a tree match?
It could have been. By the way, we all got Swagger wrong.
Yes, we know.
So, lumberjack match, they slug it out. That's what you wanted. You wanted to see them fight. They fought, slugging out back and forth. Ambrose laid into Rollins in the corner. Ambrose tossed Rollins around. He tried to escape, but he got pushed in by the lumberjacks, trying to roll out the other way. Got tossed right back in. Ambrose pulls on Rollins' face. Went, I'm going to stretch you right now. Rollins then tossed Dean to the outside. Ambrose fights with the lumberjacks. That's smart, Dean. Rollins drives him into the middle turnbuckle and then throws him back out of the ring. And, well, Ambrose, that's what happens. You get stomped on now by the lumberjacks. Ambrose finally gets to the top rope, gets tied up in the tree of woe. Worked over by Seth Rollins. Dean is able to make a comeback with right hands, but missed a crossbody. Rollins goes for a super, I believe it was Rollins. Yeah, he had a superplex sending Dean onto the pile on the outside. I was like, holy crap. And this is where the brawl started to break down. Lumberjacks trying to keep everyone apart, but they were having a hard time doing so. Ambrose backdrops Rollins' crowd. Lumberjacks start going into the crowd. Yes, we are fighting in the crowd. Ambrose dives onto the lumberjacks. At one point, Ambrose dives off the table onto Rollins and Kofi Kingston. He was basically fighting Rollins and Kofi because Kofi was just sort of in the way. He's like, Kofi should have moved. Bo was there too, but it was mainly Kofi.
Yeah.
Rollins tries to escape. Ambrose chases him through the crowd. They're fighting up on the top by a railing. He's like, oh no, he's not going to do it. He's not going to throw him off. He won't because Corporate Kane comes down and says, Lumberjacks, get.
Yeah. Fetch.
So the Lumberjacks finally get to Dean and Seth, and they pull him apart. Seth Rollins is leaving. Well, Dean gets dragged back to the ring, but Seth Rollins is like, I've had enough. I'm going to walk away. So he walks the other way. But the Usos go over to stop him. And then now all the other Lumberjacks just carry poor Seth Rollins back to the ring.
Kicking and screaming.
And then Dean went, hey guys, incoming. Dives from the top rope onto everybody. All the lumberjacks go down. Ambrose goes for a dirty deed. Rollins counters to the clothesline for a two count. He spun him inside out. I was like, holy crap. Ambrose goes for the curb stop. Connects. But Kane breaks it up. Goldust then gets in Kane's face. Gets knocked down. Basically bitch slapped. And then all the lumberjacks go, hey, let's fight. So everyone fights. Everyone gets dumped out of the ring. Rowan and Harper, the last two people, get dumped out by Dean Ambrose. This allowed Seth Rollins to grab the case, hit Ambrose in the face with the case. You're a winner, Seth Rollins.
This is a great match.
Really good match.
I've never seen a lumberjack match where the lumberjacks were so ineffectual and so well used at the same time.
Yeah, they did a wonderful job planning this out. They really did.
Because in a lumberjack match, the one thing you probably don't expect is a fight in the crowd.
Well, and that's what Ambrose was saying on the Shield documentary on the network, was that, you know, well, what's the last thing you expect with plan with something A is B. So it's like, you know, the lumberjacks are supposed to keep Ambrose and Rollins in the ring. That's the whole point. But, you know, Ambrose being Ambrose, he's going to break out and he's going to try to get to Seth any way he can, especially if Seth's running away.
Yeah, so they fought through the wall. Flash went, hey, we're going to fight in the crowd.
Which is probably going to lead to the stip match when poor Dean comes back.
He got knocked out on the one there. Oh.
I'm telling you, he did not get knocked out. He just temporarily passed out. And then he got up because he wanted a beer, and then he just went home to take a nap on his couch.
He's still picking cement out of his nostrils.
He's on the loose. He's escaped from the WWE doctors.
Yeah, did you not hear about that?
I heard about that.
He's on the run.
And I'm like, did anybody bother? They were in Vegas. Did anybody bother to check the bars or the strip clubs?
I love how this is going to play out. Dean Ambrose is on the lam. No one can find him. In a few months from now, a movie's going to come out. I was like, what? He just crushed his head into a pile of cement and bricks, and he went and made a movie afterwards.
Yeah.
And he's going to walk out and be like, because I'm that damn good, motherfucker.
No, he's not going to remember it.
No.
It's just going to be like a
someone else,
3-week long blackout.
Yeah. Well, for Dean, anyway. For the record, Omega and Lindsay picked Seth Rollins. I picked Dean Ambrose.
Ah, finally got one.
We suck less than you.
Yeah. Chris Jericho, Bray Wyatt is your next contest. Before I let Omega squee, apron, green pants, Bray Wyatt.
Finally, after a year, it makes its worldwide debut on SummerSlam. I'm so happy.
Hashtag apron porn.
Hashtag apron porn. He could have worn the coat, but he didn't. I will take the apron.
Chris Jericho had a new light-up jacket.
Light bright, light bright.
Dude, you want to talk about light bright? We need to talk about the number of cell phones that were up when Bray Wyatt came
out.
Oh
my god! I saw his debut at SummerSlam a year before, thanks to the network for $9.99. And there's like 8 or 9.
And it was just people just holding their phones up for no reason.
That was like 800 or 900.
I would go more than
I'd
that.
I'd say that was a couple thousand.
I would say about 8,000 people.
I think that's a bit exaggerated.
No, if you look at the whole arena, that was pretty much
Wasn't everyone though?
Wasn't everyone, but pretty much the lower bowl was lit.
Yeah, that was a wall of light.
There's 17,000 people, so I would say half. It's just me.
I mean, it was a wall of light, and it was so cool to see. It's like, damn. They've been waiting on him all night.
They brought back the Chris Jericho countdown, too.
Oh, I was so happy to see the countdown.
So they tie up in the ring. Jericho springs on the rope, goes for shoulder block, knocks Bray to the outside, tosses him into the barricade. And at that point, Bray was like, alright, let's go. I'm ready. I'm fired up now. Jericho comes off top rope, hits the crossbody. Bray laughs in the corner afterwards. Bray shoves Jericho off the top rope. Bray hammered him into the barricade with knees. And like, he's going to kill him and then drives him into the side of the ring. It was like, ow. And then he lines up his head and nails him into the step with a running knee. He was going after Jericho's head in this one. And then Bray's back in the ring. He starts conducting the people who are singing. He tosses Jericho into the post, hammers him with right hands, and then charges and smashes Jericho's head into the post. Another hard shot. Bray drives Jericho's shoulder into the rope as he was laid across it. We had Wyatt. Let's go Wyatt. Y2J chance. Bray locked in a chin lock, but it was sort of where he had his arm across the full body, so it was a modified version of one. He then sticks out his tongue. And this allowed Jericho to fire back, hit Enziguri to the back of Bray's head for a quick one count. So the match continues on for a bit. Jericho then starts taunting Bray, calling him Wyatt. Get up, Wyatt. Come on, Wyatt. And then Bray planted him big time for a two count. Bray goes for Sister Abigail. Jericho rolls him up. Goes for the walls of Jericho. Bray crawls to the rope. Ronda Rousey was like, kick out, kick out, kick out. Bray tossed Jericho to the outside. Both men are fighting on the apron. Bray drops him with a DDT onto the apron. Led to a two count at that point. Bray started laying in some headbutts. Bray goes to the middle rope, gets caught. Jericho hits a hurricanrana for a two count. Bray comes charging at Jericho, eats a dropkick. Jericho goes for a lion salt, but Bray decides, let's be a spider.
And Jericho's face, oh my god. Bray popped up in that thing, and Jericho's like, what the actual fuck, y'all?
Right?
He's like, what just happened?
Bray then says, he can't die, he's already dead. Eats a code breaker, Bray kind of sort of gets his foot on the bottom rope, kind of missed it, so it's underneath. It's like, oops, kind of almost blew it right there. But, anyway, Bray then is on the outside. Bray moved, ate a big shot from Jericho, moved and ate a big shot from Bray Wyatt with the thumb right to the throat. Sister Abigail into the barricade. Let's go Wyatt, Y2J chance, continue. And then Jericho's in the ring with Bray Wyatt. Sister Abigail's kiss. Good night. 1, 2, 3. Bray Wyatt wins.
He finally won one.
Again, last month they held back. This month they went right forward. And as you mentioned to me on Sunday, they pulled elements.
They did. You saw shades of the Bryan match. You saw stuff that he did in the Shield match. You saw things from Cena. I mean, I'm not sure whether it was him or Jericho or both that went back and watched those three matches in particular and kind of pulled the best elements of those matches to try and create something new and different. Because, you know, it's like him popping up on the spider with Cena, the Sister Abigail on the outside to Jericho was 100% Bryan, going after the head was Bryan, and various other things on the outside were the Shield. I mean, it's just, yeah, this was a very nicely put together match where it was meant to showcase Bray, and it did. And it showcased him in a positive light.
It did.
But what did you think, Omega?
I could echo a lot of that. It was a good match. You know, Jericho, they did hold back the last time. And Jericho coming out on top then, just, because that's the hard part to Chris Jericho, is he comes back, he puts over some of the new talent, and then he leaves again. So every now and then you need to be reminded, he's still Y2J, he's still, a former world champion.
Former six-time world champion. Bray Wyatt beat him.
First undisputed champion ever.
He beat Stone Cold and The Rock in the same night. He'll never, ever let anyone forget that.
No. Meanwhile, we've got this goat-faced bastard who beat Triple H, Batista, and Randy Orton in the same night.
Which is more impressive?
Shh.
We'll ask that question on Sunday. anyway.
It was a really good match. It was really good for Bray. He really needed that win over Jericho.
He did. Bray said after the match, Chris Jericho found out what it's like to follow the buzzards, and he started saying he's got the whole world in his hands.
Yeah, which was really nice that he got to cut that little promo. And it even echoed the Kane match as well, especially with the bit at the end. This was not as good as Bryan and Bray or the Wyatts and the Shield, but this was still a very good match. And I'm very curious to see how they take this to three. Namely, who's gonna jump first?
Holy crap, we have some breaking news.
Oh no, what happened?
He did it.
Who?
Taker did the ice bucket challenge.
Oh no.
In the dark, apparently. According to King Kids, I have the video. We're going to put the video on the screen here in just a second. I'm going to give everyone the link once I get it set up so we can all watch together. We're breaking in, ladies and gentlemen, to our regularly scheduled coverage of SummerSlam Talk to watch this video live on the player. So everyone, tune in right now. Here we go. Everyone paying attention at home. There's for the people there. Here comes sound. Here we go.
This is Mark Calloway, and I have been challenged by Blake Saleh and my beautiful bride, Michelle Calloway, to the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. So before I take my ice bath, I'm going to challenge six people. I'm going to challenge Tracy Murray, Charles Papa Bear Wright, Jody Jones, David Neal, Pastor Mack, and Gunnar Calloway. Let's do this. Very cold.
Thank you, Tager.
You can't.
Tager doesn't sell for anything.
You can't see him, but you can hear him.
You can hear him. That's him.
Hi, I'm Mark.
Calloway. Yeah, it's like, dude.
It happened.
Okay, that means Bray has to do it. If Tager did it, Bray has to do it.
Yep, Bray Wyatt, you're up.
You're up.
I love that. That's cold. Box off.
Huh. There you go. Breaking news right here on the rack. Nikki King Gins.
I was still going to challenge him, too.
Well, you're too late. He was challenged. He did it. Then he challenged his son, which was kind of awesome.
Which we'll never see, but yeah.
Apparently his wife then challenged him, so that video's out there too. Anyway.
Well, everybody was asking her to do it. It's like because nobody... We'll get back to SummerSlam in a minute. Nobody was challenging The Undertaker. It's like we said it before the show. It's like Vince didn't challenge him. Shawn didn't. Hunter didn't. Steph didn't. It's like somebody's got to do it.
And his wife did it because everyone was bugging her on Twitter. She accepted it, so she was going to do it eventually if they got back. So they must have just got back and did it. So there you go. Mark Calloway did it.
Yay!
Transitioning from Mark Calloway to one of his former almost wives, Stephanie McMahon, she took on Brie Bella. I had no other transition. First, Steph's gear. What do you guys think?
Different.
Is just that how all of Triple H's wives dress?
Actually, I told Rock later it was very reminiscent of something Tager wore. It was actually kind of reminiscent of one of the Druid robes.
Thank you for tying it all together.
The leftover from the Black Wedding, yeah.
Yeah. The only part about it that bothered me was the piece in the front, because if you didn't see it, it's like she had this kind of bustier, is the best way I can describe it, that kind of came down into a V and connected into these faux shorts that she had on. And it really bothered me from a perspective of you had the line of the shorts and then you could see where they had sewn the bottom of the bustier into the shorts. And it just that bothered me. But yeah, the whole look, it's like Steph rocked it. Frankly, she looked like a dominatrix. Just gonna throw that out there because she did. But at least she looked good at some of the better gear she's ever had.
Yeah, she's had some unflattering gear in the past.
And she was, and the interesting thing was, she was showing skin, but she was completely covered at the same time.
Yes, she was.
You could almost say it was a little throwback China, too. Really? Nothing? Really?
Fine. No, I'm just thinking, wait, I did say that. Just not in those words.
Not in those words? Okay.
Not in those words.
So anyway, Steph versus Brie.
So we have Steph versus Brie.
You weren't saying anything. It's like...
I was trying to hear her challenge say the word Undertaker, and I couldn't quite hear it. Sorry.
Good lord, God, watch it after the show.
You were talking. I had 30 seconds. Sorry. Jesus. Anyway. they tied up. Early on, Brie got overpowered by Steph, and Steph taunted her. She blew a kiss at Brie at one point. Brie then came back with an arm drag, take down Steph, caught her off guard a little bit. Steph then backed her up in the corner with shots and with her shoulder, laid into some kicks in the corner, laid in some forearms, tossed her out of the corner, and then mocked the yes point a little bit. Later, as we go along, Brie goes to dive, gets dropped on the apron by Steph, which looked like it hurt. She tried to dive through the ropes. Didn't look like it went well for Brie Bella at that point. She made it in by a nine count. Steph dropped her for a DDT. She drags Brie around the ring, does a flipping neck breaker for a two count, which when me and Lindsay saw it, was like, that was nice. Which then led to a "you still got it" chant from the crowd. Steph started stretching Brie, driving her foot into the back of the neck. She was talking trash. And that's where Brie kicked Steph in the head. Went for Luthes, connected, laid in some shots. And then, well, Steph got trained by Hunter. We could see that Brie was being trained by Brian because those kicks in the corner look very familiar from one Daniel Bryan.
Okay, I'm going to stop you one second. WWE camera people, do not shoot those kicks from the front when Brie is throwing them, because she doesn't throw them that hard. Shoot them from the back where you don't see her actually making contact, because Steph was selling those really well, despite the fact that Brie was not throwing them that hard. And it looked way better from behind Steph than it did from behind Brie.
Yeah, the second set of kicks where the crowd was getting into the S chance filmed a lot better. She tossed her into the middle of the ring, drop kick from the middle rope for a two count. Out came the game, Triple H. Nikki ran out. Yes lock was on Steph. Triple H pulled out the ref. Brie then drop kicks Triple H right in the head. He sold it like a champ. She does the yes chance over the final body of Triple H. Steph is tossed back in the ring. Nikki Bella follows her. The Bellas are sandwiching Stephanie McMahon. And then Nikki pulls Steph aside. Bam! Nails her sister with a big forearm shot. Lays out her sister. Steph gets pulled up by Nikki. Steph hits the pedigree. One, two, three. Your winner, Stephanie McMahon.
Can we just say it? The best match Stephanie's ever had.
One of, yeah. I think she had a good match with Lita back in the day.
Lita or Trish, one of the two.
I think it was the one I'm talking about was the match on Raw with Lita. They had a good match.
But yeah, Steph's ring skills have improved tremendously.
She has a lot of her father's qualities, though. She's not the most athletic person in the world, but you can tell she gives it 120%.
She's not the most athletic person in the world, but she goes for it. And you can tell that she was really trying. That she was putting everything she had into it. And that's what I had to appreciate from it, is that, yeah, Steph is not the best worker, she's not the strongest worker, but she wasn't afraid to go out there and step in the ring with Brie and put on a really, really, really good match with Brie, at least in my opinion. You know, especially when Steph did the flip, it's like, okay, alright, there we go. So, it was just, yeah, I really enjoyed this match. What did you guys think?
Great match.
No, I thought it was good.
And which one did you think was better, AJ and Paige or Steph and Brie?
AJ and Paige.
Storytelling-wise, Steph and Brie. What about you, Lindsay? Which one was better?
In terms of wrestling, I would have to go with AJ and Paige, but in terms of the story and the impact, I would have to go with Steph and Brie.
Way to play both sides of the...
Well, they each have their own qualities.
Oh, I know. They both were great matches. I'm not discounting that. By the way, we will all pick Steph and we all pick Bray.
Just right at my boo-boo again. Damn right he won.
That time, finally picking him, got the win. Yeah.
Took him long enough. Jesus.
So they played some stuff on the post-game show where Brie and Nikki were having a conversation, and Brie blew off Nikki as Nikki got an important phone call from, or I think it was a phone call from the authority. I was like, oh. Then she went to the authority's office. So that sort of played a part in the outcome of this match that no one ever really saw until after the event was aired. So, yay! Mm. Go, good for that. So Steph is victorious. Our next contest of the evening, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns.
Oh, Randy.
Chinlock, anyone?
Oh my god, it's like I told Rock, it's like I wanna enjoy this match. I really do. I wanna cheer for Roman so much, but it's like, it's such a typical Randy Orton match. It really is.
The first 7, 8, 9 minutes of this was chinlock. Chinlock. Hey, some chinlocks. Orton stomp. Chinlock. Yeah.
Roman. Remember those reports that the house show, these were like a lot of rest holds during the whole match?
Huh. Well, huh. So the first 9 minutes. Hey, Roman went for a chinlock. Orton got out of it because he knows how to apply one. So skipping the first 10 minutes, and then it picked up and it was actually pretty decent to close, and I was told, oh, this is a good match by a couple people on this network. I was bored in tears for the first 10 minutes, and Lindsay can attest because we were sitting here talking as this match was going on. I was like, hey, can we get to Brock beating up Cena yet?
Yeah, this was this match where it was in the very unfortunate spot of being right before, being after the girls, but being right before the mauling that we all knew was coming. And it was something of, I really just want to see Brock and Cena. I really want to see it just from the standpoint of, I want to see if they're actually going to let Brock destroy John Cena, or if it's going to be a typical Superman type match. And like I said, I wanted to be into this match. I really did, but it's just like after a while, it's like, oh my god, I'm going to fall asleep because this is just, it's not my type of match. It's not, to me, it was not an exciting match.
Until the end.
Until the end.
Alright, so we have Samoan drop off the top rope for a 2 count, a Superman punch, Roman goes for the spear, but in the move of the night, Orton connects with a power slam, which was very well timed, very nicely done. Orton hits the Hangman DDT, goes for the RKO, Reigns came off the ropes after he got out of the first RKO, but ate the RKO the second time for a 2 count. Orton lines him up for the punt, Reigns move, spear, Roman Reigns is your winner. Michael Cole proclaims this, the biggest win so far in Roman Reigns' career.
It's the only solo win in Roman Reigns'
career. On pay-per-view.
On pay-per-view.
What do you think, Omega?
Half of this match was really good, and the other half was just,
chinlock.
Chinlock. It's like we're playing out Jericho's list.
We just
replaced arm bars with chinlocks.
Pretty much, yeah.
It turns into an okay match when you look at the whole thing. If you forget the first 10 minutes happened, then it's great.
But the 10 minutes actually counts.
Yeah.
So that sort of happened. Then you... Anything you want to add to that, Lindsay, before we move to the main?
It was a good showing for Roman. I think, honestly, there could have been a lot more to showcase Roman's skills. But obviously, that was not going to be the case here. And it was a typical Randy Orton match, and that's really all I got on it.
We learned tonight Roman Reigns can sell a chinlock. Main event time. John Cena, Brock Lesnar for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. We thought it was going to be a fight. and it was a fight as they brawled to start. They rolled around the ring a little bit. Brock landed some shots. F5! 1, 2, Cena kicks out. But then it became Brock smash. Let's go Cena. Cena sucks chance. German suplex. Brock taunt Cena. German suplex. Big knees, right hands. Cena fire backs with left and right. He has the house of fire. Then we got a chin lock from Brock Lesnar. Cena got out of it with elbows to fight to get escaping the hold. Then a hard knee by Brock Lesnar to the ribs. Cena fought back a little bit. Brock then stepped on the hand of Cena. And get this. A German suplex by Brock Lesnar. Then another. Then another. Then another. The ref is pleading with John Cena to give up. Guess what? Another German suplex. He had it. Cena fires back with elbows. F5! No! AA! 1, 2. Brock Lesnar kicks out. Moment of the night then happens. Brock sits up like the Undertaker. Tongue wagging and all. And then gets up, taunts John Cena. He's full of energy. He's like, come on, fight. And they pan to John Cena laid out in the corner, dead. It's like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Can he stop beating on me now?
Dude, I thought Cena was going to cry.
He looked like a very sad little puppy in that corner. It's like, I never give up, but I want to. More right hands and lefts by Brock Lesnar. Cena tried to cover up, but was not having much success. Rolling Germans by Brock Lesnar. And then at one point, he ragdolled John Cena up with 3 more German suplexes. Like, he was dead, but he was so light, he just went, whoop, right up. Cena hit the SDF. Brock got to the ropes. He didn't even get to the ropes, he just broke out of it. Lay in some right hands. F5 to John Cena. 1, 2, 3. Your winner and new WWE Heavyweight Champion of the World, Brock Lesnar. Reactions.
He walked out there and mauled John Cena. Just mauled him. There's really no other way to describe that without using mauling. It's just... I was actually really pleasantly surprised with this, and I know from what I've heard on the reactions, people either really liked this or really hated this. And it's just something of Brock went out there and was Brock, and he did exactly to Cena what he did to Taker. He just went out there and beat the crap out of him and conquered him. And props to Cena for taking the beating and for putting Brock over like he did. I mean, they just made him look like an absolute legit monster. Not that he wasn't that already. And, yeah, it's because you're looking at Brock now as a champion. It's like, all right, who's got the stones to step up and challenge that?
Pretty much, yeah.
But what'd you think, Omega?
I made a comment before this match, whereas I'm really, you know, I'm looking forward to the main event where Cena's spine will be reduced to figgy pudding. I didn't know how accurate that statement was going to be.
Mole.
Oh my God. Okay. First off, terrible match. Because it's... Yeah, there's no back and forth, there's no false finish, there's no science to it. There is no wrestling match here. That's it. Exactly what it needed to be. This match was terrible and it was perfect for it. Cuz that's what should have happened the first time these two met. You know, Brock Lesnar isn't a wrestler. You know, he's described as a mercenary. You know, he is a fighter. So, of course, he's going to go out there and, you know, against someone like Cena, who's going to try and out-wrestle him, he's just going to power through him. It's exactly what he did. You know, you can't go into a match like this and go, well, I just beat The Undertaker's undefeated streak at WrestleMania in my last match, and now I'm going to come in and work this, what, scientific match with, you know, back and forth with Cena? No! the only sense, the only way this whole thing works is if he absolutely destroys Cena, and that's exactly what happened, and it's exactly what he needed. And it sets up a Hollywood Hogan situation where you think to yourself, who can actually beat that? And this time it's not because he's got a dozen henchmen behind him. It's because the guy is a freaking nightmare.
Right. Now, someone's been dogging these predictions all night long. We had one person on the top spot out of everybody, all about 20 people that did this. Omega went 6-3.
Did I?
Yeah.
News to me.
You thought, oh, I got all these wrong. You got like the first three wrong, and then you were clear sailing the rest of the way. Lindsay went 5-4. I went 4-5.
I went 5-4, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
See, we got all like the first bunch wrong. It was like, hey, win, and go from there. Just go on a roll from there. So, overall, I like this pay-per-view. I thought it was really enjoyable. The worst match was the Randy Orton match, but what can you do?
Yeah, I would agree. The weakest match was probably the Orton match, followed by the Swagger-Rusev match. But overall, this was a really, really strong show. It definitely made up for Battleground. My only really complaint about it is it's kind of left everybody in sort of a lurch in terms of where they go from here with Night of Champions. I mean, I know for whatever reason Cena is exercising his rematch clause. Dude, you're stupid. And we have that match, but it's like, you know, in terms of the matches on that card that are going to go ahead and go to Night of Champions, you're just not sure how you're going to get them there, especially since we're not going to get Dean versus Seth again right away. It's just like, oh. But they're so good together.
Well, somebody's off to make a movie.
Damn it, Dean! But yeah, so what did you think, Omega?
I thought it was a good pay-per-view. I mean, SummerSlam is one of the big ones, so it better be good. And yeah, half of the Roman Reigns match was the worst match of the night. You know, by far. You know, there's a lot of storylines that delivered really well. Couple outcomes I wish went a little bit differently. This might be the first time I was ever rooting for Swagger. And I like what it sets up. You've got this indomitable beast of a champion in Brock Lesnar, and you've got the fool Cena, who is now in the Rocky Balboa position. And I seriously, I don't want John Cena on TV until Brock Lesnar is back on TV the night, you know, the week before SummerSlam. You know, I just want, like, I seriously want, like, Rocky IV training montages in the Siberian hills or something.
Well, this Monday night on Raw, John Cena returns.
I know.
I was kind of hoping that they would wait a little bit longer to sell his beating, you know, just because it's like, here's the thing. Brock defeated The Undertaker in such spectacular fashion that we have not seen anything of The Undertaker until now, when he dumped a bucket of ice on his head.
And even then,
we didn't see him.
We heard him.
I'm okay with this, though. But, yeah, so it's like, I was kind of hoping they would at least keep Cena off for, you know, like 2 weeks.
It all depends how John Cena comes out on Monday.
He better be limping.
He better be limping and not running and selling this beatdown.
I think the point of it is he activated his return match.
Uh-huh.
However, it's for the next pay-per-view. You know, typically, John Cena is the type to come out here and say, okay, you were the better man that night, but tonight is not that night. Let's do this again.
Yeah,
I really hope he is selling it. Like, I get what they're going for. It's John Cena. It's the never give up guy.
But sometimes when you're in a losing battle, you might want to just give up.
Well, they're going to have another. The rematch is going to be a little bit more back and forth, but he's still going to get torn up.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I have a feeling, and I told this to Rock privately after the pay-per-view, was that Cena kind of walked into that match on Sunday anticipating a wrestling match. He underestimated Brock, and he was very confident because he had beaten Brock in the past. And so he believed that he had already taken the best that Brock had to offer, and he could beat it. And so he kind of walked into it overconfident, not expecting what he got. I think because Brock showed up to fight, and Cena showed up to wrestle. This next go-round, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Cena shows up to fight, and we get more of a fight between these two, as opposed to a wrestling match. And Cena still gets his ass whooped.
He needs to. Because then it would make SummerSlam meaningless if he doesn't get his ass whooped. Just saying. Go ahead, sorry.
Because here's the thing about the Cena match. Half of the match was Brock standing there laughing at Cena. That was half of the match right there. It was literally he just suplexed him 15 times, or 16 times, F5'd him twice, did some punches, did some shots to the ribs, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Those were all the moves Brock threw. Meanwhile, Cena's, you know, basically using his full arsenal, all seven moves of Doom, to try and put Brock down, and nothing's working. So it's something of, Cena needs to show up, he needs to be serious, he does need to say, alright, you were the better man that night, but today's another day, let's do this. And you have Cena fight. Not wrestle, fight. And get aggressive. Because it's like, son, this dude just walked in and stole your title and your spot. And he's not even going to be here most of the time. What are you going to do about it? But they won't do that because it's Cena. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. I was waiting for Omega to chime in on that one. No, you're not wrong.
No, I pretty much said my piece on that one. So, they're going to have a fight next time. Cena's going to be more ready for it, but the result's going to be the same. I mean, if Brock being the champion, if Brock beating The Undertaker, if any of this is ever going to have meaning, this needs to be the one time Cena cannot rise above. This has to be where the champ finally gets put down. Because I don't care if you're Superman, I don't care, even Superman fought Doomsday. Eventually you're supposed to meet someone you just can't beat.
I would agree with that.
I would agree with that as well. It's, you know, even Superman lost every once in a great while, and John Cena has gone up against some pretty good competition, and, you know, we've said it before, we said it again, he should have lost against Bray Wyatt. He should not have beaten Bray Wyatt, but he did because Daniel Bryan got hurt, and they needed to set him up to be strong to get the belt so he could lose to Brock and get the ass-kicking that he got on Sunday. But it's like every time with John Cena, every match with Cena, we always have the same conversation of, God, I want so-and-so to win, but it's Cena. He always finds that way to win, and after a while, it gets really tiring and really annoying, so it's kind of a refreshing change to see that character or that person that Cena comes up against that he just can't beat. He can't win. It's like no matter what he does, no matter how he comes at the dude, he's not going to win. And that's really refreshing to see, and I wish they would do more of that. Because honestly, the first time Brock and Cena met, Brock should have won then as well.
Oh yeah, he should have, because that was... And Brock should have never had any sort of wrestling matches. They should have all been fights, and that's sort of where it sort of backfired sometimes with Brock. Was that he did wrestling matches when he should be just a fighter.
Right, but we'll have to see how that goes on Monday night. So, closing comments on SummerSlam? Thoughts? Opinions? Emotional outbursts?
Football!
German chinlock.
Bray Wyatt. I got nothing after that. Alright, so... It's very late. We've been on for a while. I'm sure everybody, including everyone on this call, probably wants to go to bed. So on that note, I say we wrap up the show for the evening. So who wants to do their plugs first?
I have a lot, so Omega can plug first.
Well, I can't say as usual because I don't do this on the show. But since I'm here, my stuff can usually be found over on YouTube at TJ Omega. At TJ Omega is also my Twitter handle. And if you are the Facebook type, there is my fan page over at TJ Reviews, or it's all on TJOmega.org. So Google my name, it's there somewhere.
There you go. Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. A lot of Blame Robs. We're playing Are You Smarter Than a 2-Year-Old? SummerSlam review picks. Emmy picks. VMA picks. Some news. CB Radio. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsbandanas. Sunday night, Omega returns to the airwaves with Mace and Tim Stein for Russell Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday and Facebook.com/Russell Talk Radio as the conversation continues. Monday night, I think there's a Raw post show at 11:10 p.m. Eastern. I think. I don't know yet. But if there is, we'll
yes,
be...
Yes, Monday the 25th, there's a Raw post show. There isn't one on the 1st.
I don't... Again, like I told you before the show, I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I have to figure things out. So if there is, we'll be live right after Monday Night Raw, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, covering everything that happens on Raw. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR_Rack. And Facebook.com/WTRTheRock. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. You can check out WTRProductions.com. You can follow Tim on Twitter. I believe it's at ManKitchenTV. I think he wants that one plugged. At GoAngelGo. Tweet him. I'll tell you what that actually is. Because he has 2 Twitter accounts. Yes, Tim Stein has 2 Twitter accounts now. It's kind of scary. Check us out on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on TuneIn Radio, wherever you are. Just get the apps. They're free for Stitcher and TuneIn. Just search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And all the links are on Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. And of course, you can visit my Behance, behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter, to view all of my artwork. It is available for your viewing pleasure there. Also, please don't hesitate to visit our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and of course, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211, where he will be posting a new video tomorrow. So go check it out, because it's amazing.
And go watch him take the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Because it's hilarious.
It is.
And also go watch Taker take the Ice Bucket Challenge, because again, hilarious.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway. It's going to become a thing. I just have this hunch. So, and also, we have to extend a huge thanks to Omega for putting up with us. Because, you know, you so rarely have to do that.
Only on usually Saturdays where we torture him. And Kinkins, be ready. We're going to torture you on Saturday.
I don't put up enough with you people enough.
I've seen the deck, dude. You're screwed.
We're having some fun.
We're having some fun Saturday. So for Omega and Rock, I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.